can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Have a good weekend. At least there's no rugby, so England won't lose again. James O'Brien's the other side of the news. I will be back with you Monday morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick, and do take care, Steve. The time is approaching 10 o'clock. I wonder what's going on in the private rooms. Keir Starmer claiming, well, at least I was half right when I said that only one party could stop reform. 52% right. It just turned out not to be his party. Nigel Farage is whining. Cammy Badenoch is probably explaining to a mirror why she was the real winner last night while listening to Will Power's Adventures in Success on her iPod. And Nigel Farage is whining. Zach Polanski doing a lap of honour. We may get to talk to him later in the programme. I do hope so, because something is clearly happening in British politics. And Nigel Farage is, of course, whining. And Matt Goodwin apparently replied, applying to Deedpoll to change his name to Matt Bad Loss. Sorry.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the leader of the Green Party has told LBC last night's by-election victory shows that his party can offer a new plan for the country. The Greens won the Gorton and Denton contest, taking a seat held by Labour for almost a century. Sir Keir Starmer's party finished third behind Reform UK. Green leader Zach Polanski called it a phenomenal victory.
This was our 127th target seat, so suddenly there's no area in England and Wales that's a no-go area for the Green Party. For years we've heard this idea of wasted votes, but tonight Hannah Spencer has proven that we can both stop this failing Labour government and this awful Reform Party. And actually we can offer hope and a plan to lower people's bills, protect the National Health Service, rebuild our public services. And I can't wait for Hannah Spencer to get to work.
The by-election was seen as a key test for Sir Keir Starmer in one of his party's traditional strongholds. Labour took the seat with more than 50% of the vote just 18 months ago. Carl Turner is the Labour MP for East Hull. He's told LBC that blocking Andy Burnham from standing in the contest as their candidate was a mistake.
Why block Burnham? Bring him in. Use him. He thinks he's the King of the North. Make him the Minister for the North. Put him in charge of local elections. That was my advice to the PM. Not listened to. Completely ignored. What a mess we're in now.
Concerns have been raised about so-called family voting, where two voters either confer, collude or direct each other. The Electoral Commission has urged anyone who wants to report a potential offence to go to the police. The Ministry of Defence is reviewing whether RAF airfields were used by Jeffrey Epstein to traffic women and girls. Any flight logs linked to the late paedophile financier will be handed over to the police. Court of Appeal judges are due to give a decision on a challenge over the introduction of VAT to private school fees. Several schools, children and their parents have claimed the policy is incompatible with human rights laws. The case was dismissed by the High Court last year. And the statue of Sir Winston Churchill in Westminster has been defaced with graffiti. Anti-Zionist slogans have been sprayed onto the sculpture in Parliament Square in central London. It's been cordoned off to be cleaned. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 49 at 10,897. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy for many areas with rain, especially across central and southern parts. Some brighter spells for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £139 million! It's so exciting, I could do the splits! Oh, should have stretched first. Get in tonight's EuroMillions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Morning, it's 3 minutes after 10. You are listening to LBC. I think my favourite bit, and remember, I go to bed very early. I'm not one of those wonks who stays up into the small hours until the result is actually announced. Who did? Was Henry Riley there? Well, good. Young man like that. It's time he earned his spurs. I'd have done that back in the day. Lewis Goodall? Did Lewis do it? Was Lewis up for the count? I think I may have seen a little post on social saying that he was, for once, going to actually turn in. I understand the sense of excitement that accompanies manage these things. But unless you're in the room where it happens, it's not very easily communicable, is it? But the one thing I really took away from it, this result in Gorton and Denton in Manchester, is the wonderful acceptance speech by the successful candidate, who is a plumber. And I don't know whether you know this, she's also currently training, or she was, because it's all a bit of a change of direction now career-wise. She was training to be a plasterer as well, a plumber and a plasterer. And she apologised to clients who have booked her to do plumbing work in the coming days on account of the fact that she's going to be a little bit too busy doing her new job. And it just struck me, because what did Reform put up? A bloke who was an academic and then wasn't and works for GBBs and then didn't, does he? I don't even know. But he just whines. He never stops whining, this Goodwin bloke. He whines and whines and whines and whines. Everything is somebody else's fault. The reason why he wasn't a great academic was somebody else's fault. The reason why he lost last night was somebody else's fault. The reason why he's ended up working for a TV broadcaster that is beyond parody, somebody else's fault. He used to write quite well-regarded academic tomes and treatises about why the rise of the far right was so hideous and so dangerous, and then he decided to join them, but that was probably somebody else's fault as well. And they like to pretend, don't they, these clowns, that they represent real working people, when, to be fair, they just represent real racists. But there are rather more of them than perhaps some people realised. And what this woman did, this Green Party successful, Hannah, the successful Green Party candidate, Hannah Spencer, was just play that card so perfectly and so authentically. Oh, crikey, if I'm supposed to be coming around to unblock your pipes next week, I'm not going to be able to. I've just become an MP. That's working. That's the real sort of face, if you like, of working people in this country. Middle-class clichés like me have a tendency sometimes to fetishise manual labour and to talk about it as if, you know, the horny-handed sons and daughters of the soil are the true backbone of Britain. But I think there's some truth in it. I think there's some truth in it. Have a listen. Have a listen to what she had to say.
I didn't grow up wanting to be a politician. I'm a plumber. And 2 weeks ago, during all this, I also qualified as a plasterer. Because even in chaos, even under pressure, I get things done. Now, to my customers, I'm sorry, but I think I might have to cancel the work that you had booked in because I'm heading to Parliament. And when I get there, I will make space for everyone doing jobs like mine. We will finally get a seat at the table.
Typical plumber, eh? They just tell you to get lost when a bigger job comes along. We've all been there. 7 minutes after 10 is the time. And the result was significant. Make no mistake about that. Tempting though it is to remind you on a morning like today that you can only really read too much into by-election results. I said myself last night, if you follow me on Blue Sky, that it would be hard to read anything significant into the result unless it was a comprehensive victory for any of the three parties that were in with a chance of winning until the last minute. And I think it was actually a comprehensive victory. So we will start reading into what it means shortly. Just a little quick word on how mad everybody is on the right wing of British politics this morning. I don't know how much fun you had yesterday with the Alistair Heath headline generator, but it was almost impossible to tell the difference between what was parody and what was reality when it came to generating putative headlines under which the king of the unhinged headline would write. But this is a real headline. The Greens' extremist victory pushes Britain one step closer to the abyss. Not by Alistair Heath, but by someone called Jake Wallace Simons, who I think was presided over one of the most extraordinary journalistic frauds of modern times, but it doesn't appear to have dented his employability over at Telegraph Towers. Paul Goodman writes in the same space, "This is the beginning of the end for our liberal democracy." We already know that Michael Gove's ex-wife decided to describe Zach Polanski as the biggest creep in the history of politics, or the biggest creep in politics in the Daily Mail. And the Daily Mail has been carrying now for some days a little banner or a little badge on its front pages and within saying, what is it again? Is it Beware the Green Menace? Is it, what is, I can't even remember. So, you know, we should, do you want to hear the whole of her speech? Because everybody else today is probably going to I'd be talking about how it's terrible for Labour. And it's tempting to think about, you know, those ramifications. I'm tempted to talk about how terrible it is for Reform. But this is actually a massive day of victory for the Green Party. And we talked on Wednesday about the fact that something does seem to be shifting in the tectonic plates of UK politics. And I think it's probably only fair and respectful to focus on the winners, isn't it, today, as opposed to dissecting the... I don't know, actually. I mean, look, well, I've got to do a bit of dissection of the losers. It's an absolute disaster for Labour, for the reasons that Carl Turner very winningly explained to Nick Ferrari a little earlier. He's a great communicator, Carl Turner, and that's what you need when you're fighting a seat that you're in with a chance of winning. You need a great communicator. People who have paid rather more attention to this race than I have tell me that Hannah Spencer was a brilliant communicator, that her films, her social media videos were very, very effective and very, very powerful. And Andy Burnham, whether you like him or not, is currently widely regarded as a very effective communicator. And the decision to not let him fight that seat may, I don't know. I mean, it's all counterfactuals, isn't it? Because if he had fought that seat and won it, he would then be posing a threat to Keir Starmer's leadership from within the Westminster Village, which was, I think, the main reason why the NEC followed guidance to keep him out of the running for that seat. The candidate that they did run was widely thought of, but didn't cut through in the way that the Green candidate did. I think that Reform UK were probably halfway through their lap of honour last week. Same thing happened in Wales, didn't it? That's a big problem for Labour, isn't it, when you think about it? Only one party can stop the far right, and it's us. Whereas what we've seen in Caerphilly and in Denton and Gorton now, Gorton and Denton, is that that's simply not true. I mean, I know I just said that we shouldn't spend too much time analysing the losers last night, but I think that's probably a bit daft of me, because they are the government, and not analysing the state of the current government is a stupid position for a show that talks about politics to adopt. But they've bet an awful lot on being the only party that can stop the far right, haven't they? They've done this weird attempt to kind of flirt with the fascism, like make some concessions to all the racists who love Nigel Farage, while simultaneously claiming that they're the only people that can stop the full fat racism that Reform represent. Labour have looked a bit like semi-skimmed right-wingers at times. Some of their comments, Shabana Mahmood talking about immigration, some of the comments that they've made about values, about British values. I'll give you a really good example of British values, actually. The best example I've seen in a very, very long time, and it involves my favourite food stuff. In fact, people who pay proper attention to this programme will know that there's a news story that involves the drink with which I most enjoy accompanying my favourite food stuff in the news today. But there is a story from Yorkshire about a Muslim-owned fish and chip shop in Yorkshire that has introduced kosher options alongside its halal menu at the request of a local rabbi. And these are the sort of stories that warm the cockles of my heart, but presumably boil the blood of people like Nigel Farage and Matthew Badloss. How funny is it to call him Matthew Badloss? Matthew Goodwin? Matthew Badloss? Is it bad loss? No, Goodwin, bad loss. Matthew, is it funny, or is it that my kids now have reached a stage where they don't even indulge dad jokes with rolled eyebrows? They just pretend they have rolled eyes and raised eyebrows. They just pretend they haven't heard them at all. Did I ever tell you what my favourite dad joke was? Well, you know when you're out for a meal and the waiter or the waitress says, "Do you have any allergies?" I used to rub my hands and go, "Well, let's find out," like that. And I used to think that was very funny. And when my kids were young, they thought it was hilarious. I'm not sure what Mrs. O'Brien made of it. Poor thing. She's used to this kind of nonsense by now after 25 years of marriage. But I mean, it's not a bad little joke, is it? And the waiter or the waitress would laugh politely because, you know, sometimes service is not included on the bill. And then there comes a point, I don't know quite when it was, around sort of 12, 13, where they're not really laughing anymore. And then 13, 14, they're like, "Please don't do the joke about it. Please don't do the allergies joke, Dad. Please, I don't know." Where Matthew Badloss as a synonym for Matthew Goodwin. There you go, this is my life. Amit's been in touch already to say it's funny, where Karen says it's a bit cringy. And that's the nature of my inbox. It's a bit like Memento Mori, my inbox, isn't it? You know when conquering generals returned to ancient Rome, having seen off the Carthaginians or the Etruscans, and you would have someone riding alongside the like often a former slave, I think, or possibly even a current slave, riding alongside the conquering general, whispering in his ear, memento mori, memento mori. Remember you are mortal. Don't let all of this adulation go to your head. And in many ways, my inbox serves the same purpose on mornings like this. Dan says, it's a great one, James, stick with it. But my own producer has said, I know how Karen feels. So, I don't know, maybe I won't hit it too hard or too often. We're expecting a victory rally. Are we calling it a victory rally or are we calling it a press conference? I mean, we would once have called it a press conference, but now we're calling it a victory rally. And we will cross live to that up in Manchester as soon as the characters appear on the stage. This was an interesting moment. This I think, is a really significant moment. It may play into the conversation that we've tried and failed to have a million times on this programme about why so many young people are out of work and often living at home. This is Hannah Spencer, the victorious candidate in Gorton and Denton last night.
Things have changed a lot over the last few decades because working hard used to get you something. It got you a house, a nice life, holidays. It got you somewhere. But now, working hard, what does that get you? Because talk to anyone here and they will tell you. The people who work hard but can't put food on the table, can't get their kids' school uniforms, can't put their heating on, can't live off the pension they worked hard to save for, can't even begin to dream about ever having a holiday, ever. Because life has changed. Instead of working for a nice life, we're working to line the pockets of billionaires. We are being bled dry. And I don't think it's extreme or radical to think working hard should get you a nice life.
I think that's a really significant moment. I mean, I'm as guilty as anyone of exaggerating the importance of by-election results, but I haven't heard Labour politicians make these points. And if I have, I haven't heard them made quite as powerfully. So the criticism of the Greens, and we'll get into what is actually going on in the green corner of UK politics shortly, is often that they are populist or they lack substance. And I've fallen into that trap. It may not be a trap. It may be an absolutely fair criticism. But don't laugh, all right? Promise you won't laugh? Do you promise you won't laugh? Okay. I've been thinking quite a lot about George Osborne lately. And I've been thinking about how unutterably useless he was as a Chancellor and indeed as a politician, how hideously dangerous he was to the fabric and the cohesion of our country. I mean, how utterly, utterly awful George Osborne was as a politician. And yet our country is a place where he can waltz off to run the British Museum or edit the London Evening Standard, entirely untouched and unsullied by the misery that he visited upon this country during his tenure as Chancellor of the Exchequer. And, of course, despite being a Remainer, by his utter failure to stop the madmen taking over the asylum and getting Brexit over the line. I've been thinking a lot about him. And a little bit about Keir Starmer. And I see them both, and I may regret sharing this with you, because it could be the immediate aftermath of an exciting election result, a by-election result. But I've been thinking about George Osborne and Keir Starmer, and I've been wondering whether my lifelong commitment to the idea that you have to put proper politicians in charge, you can't have the weirdos, or you can't have the populists, let's say. You can't have the ones that don't appear to be able to back up what they're saying with evidence and with numbers. And I'm beginning to wonder whether that is a complete misreading of British politics, because the politicians who look like traditional politicians, for a generation now, certainly since 2010, have either been objectively awful, in the case of Cameron and Osborne, I mean, hideously ridiculous in the case of a Liz Truss and a Boris Johnson, or just not particularly competent in the case of a Rishi Sunak or a Keir Starmer. So I feel my grip upon the idea of you can't put people in charge who don't sound and look like traditional politicians. Everything will go mad if we do that. My grip on that conviction is beginning to loosen a bit. It was already, but I think this morning it's loosening still further, because all of the people queuing up to tell me why this is different, why there is something going on in the green corner of UK politics, I think, well, they've first of all got a by-election result on their side, a big one, make no mistake. They won by a lot more than anybody predicted. And the idea that we just dismiss it, the grown-ups, the sensibles, just dismiss it as a flash of euphoric optimism, or it's idealistic naivety, naive idealism. I don't know, to be honest with you. That might well be the phone-in. You'll find out in a minute, because I need to stop talking and go to the hiatus. But what is going on? What exactly is going on in the green corner of UK politics? Zach Polanski and Hannah Spencer are currently, I would say, almost gurning at the cameras up in Manchester at the moment. But that's because they were posing for the still photographers. So if you've got a video camera where someone is posing for the still photographers, you can often look a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit staged. The room's almost empty, but they're not there for the benefit of the people in the room. They're there for the benefit of the television cameras and the radio microphones, which I presume are poised to receive the rally or the conference that is about to start. So I don't think I will go to the break, actually. I'm going to stay here. I'm watching the screen. I'm going full Dimbleby. Zach Polanski is walking to the stage, and he is about
Labour's
to speak.
Labour's electoral stranglehold is over. This is a seismic victory. We have torn the roof off British politics. And that's because people now recognise there is an alternative. Hannah Spencer and the team just ran the most incredible campaign, crystal clear about what Hannah stands for and what the Green Party stands for. To lower people's bills, to protect the National Health Service, and to rebuild our public services. This was the 127th target seat for the Green Party. Why is that relevant? It means there is no longer any no-go areas for the Green Party. Right across England and Wales, at local council, at Senate, and in Parliament, we will be working hard to get Greens elected. And the starting gun has fired on local elections in 70 days' time. From Wales in the Senate, Anthony Slaughter and Tessa Marshall, to Zoe Garber in Hackney, right across, there are names, new Hannah Spencers that aren't literally Hannah Spencers, but people who got involved in politics because they care, because they're from their local community, and they're ready to make a difference. The final thing I want to say is this. This is an existential crisis for the Labour Party. No longer can they try and scare people into saying they have to vote for something because they're worried about the least worst option. A vote for the Greens is a vote both to stop reform, to stop Labour, and for something hopeful and a plan. Talking about hopeful and a plan, it's my absolute pleasure to welcome the woman to the stage who took on the billionaire donors and won. The MP, I'm going to have to get used to that, the MP for Gorton and Denton, Hannah Spencer.
Thank you so much.
Really enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I'm going to leave you from this.
Just trying to sort out that microphone, I presume. This is
I'm actually not going to apologise for that. First of all, I definitely need to say
her microphone's not working.
To the local Green parties who put their trust in me to be their candidate in this by-election, to the campaign team, to the local Green Party members, to the thousands of volunteers
to help us get our message out. Some from up the road, some from the other side of the country, and most of all, to the people of Gorton and Denton, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm so honoured that you've chosen me as your Green Party MP to represent you in Parliament. And I promise I will work so hard to deliver for you. I can't wait to get started and work to influence policy that makes lives better for people like us, to bring down the cost of living, introduce rent controls, and get the litter and fly tipping off our streets. I couldn't be more proud to represent Gorton and Denton, and by that, I mean the whole of Gorton and Denton. I'm so proud that we fought a really positive campaign against the Reform Party that dances to the tune of their billionaire donors who don't want to pay their fair share of tax, and against the Labour Party, who also stooped so incredibly low. We want an alternative to the stale, broken, old two-party politics, and that is the Green Party. I don't want to dwell on it for too long, but I have been appalled at some of the divisive, dog-whistling campaigning from other parties. I know in my heart, and everyone knows here, everybody here belongs. Everybody deserves to have their needs met. Everyone deserves a voice in our democracy. And today, the people here in this constituency have sent a very clear message. We've rejected hate and embraced the politics of hope. Not blind hope, hope that is rooted in an ambitious but very achievable plan to transform our country for the better. And throughout this campaign, it's been clear that the majority of people in Gorton and Denton share similar concerns about the spiralling cost of bills and housing, about crumbling public services that have suffered years of underfunding, and about threats to our National Health Service, which must be protected and restored and must not be carved up and sold to the highest bidder. And yes, many voters I spoke with from lots of different backgrounds are deeply troubled by this Labour government's complicity in genocide. And I am so proud that the Green Party stands firmly against genocide and war crimes and defends human rights in Gaza and across the world. And I am so proud to represent a constituency filled with people who care about the suffering of those thousands of miles away, just as we care for our friends and neighbours here at home. Because that is what we do here. We look after each other. And the mission here at the Green Party is to rebuild our country based on values that I see with my own eyes practised day in, day out, here in Gorton and Denton and across Greater Manchester. And let me tell you, this is only the beginning. Because as we've heard, this was number 127 on the list of Green Party target seats. There are at least 126 seats where we can win with a smaller swing than we saw here. But actually, we can win anywhere. And I was elected because people in this constituency want change. We are sick of being told that there's no alternative, that we should shut up and accept it as our household costs spiral and our wages fail to keep pace. That things which used to be possible, things that were normal not that long ago, free higher education, reliable and affordable buses, beaches you can safely swim at, being able to get a dentist appointment when you need one, we're told that now that is too much to ask. But the people here of Gorton and Denton know that it's not good enough, and today we've demanded more. It's the same story up and down the country. And this by-election has shown that there is no longer any such thing as a safe seat. And there is no part of the country where the Green Party cannot win. Something absolutely massive is happening right now. And I invite you to be part of our movement. Come and join the Green Party so that we can spread hope and we can win everywhere else across the country too. Because this is just the beginning. The Green Party is on track to make big gains in the May elections, in the Senate and in councils all over the country. And our momentum will continue building. You've seen a green surge. Well, now wait, because a green tidal wave is coming at the next general election. And as our wonderful leader, Zach Polanski, is very fond of saying, we are not here to be disappointed by Labour. We are here to replace them. And I was here to replace Labour in Gorton and Denton. And that's job done. Tomorrow, the real work begins. Thank you so, so much.
Wow. I can tell you, if you're in any doubt at all, that almost everything she said there will resonate with huge swathes of our general population who are almost entirely unrepresented currently by the UK media. The comments in particular about billionaires, of course, are never going to be reported in media that is largely owned by billionaires, dedicated to the protection of their own wealth and privilege, and the comments about Gaza are also going to resonate way, way more than you would ever understand from reading most coverage of the Middle East in most UK newspapers. Just on those two central points, there is an appeal being made to people who are currently politically either disillusioned or, to use that dread phrase, homeless. Did you know that Farage's treasurer is a billionaire property developer? Is the man of the people has put a bloke in charge of fundraising who speaks fluent billionaire. And there you have a woman who's going to have to let down some of her plumbing clients because she's going to be a little busy taking up her new role in Westminster. But we can all get high on hopium, can't we? We can all get high on optimism, and goodness knows there's not been an awful lot to be optimistic about at the moment, but that was a lovely speech. That was a powerful speech. Zach Polanski, who I told you on Wednesday, I'm a little bit embarrassed not to have a very clear picture of. He spoke there fluently. He spoke without notes. He spoke powerfully. He spoke confidently. Crucially, he came across as neither weird nor smarmy. These are big things. These things matter. Come across as weird, it doesn't matter how strong the message is, it will hold you back. Come across as smarmy, it doesn't matter how strong the message is, it will hold you back. I'll give you an example. Farage and his mates are just whining gracelessly. A big boy did it and ran away. We did win, but it goes to a different school. Matt Goodwin is about to announce that he's become a shadow MP and he's having a victory party in Manchester as we speak. But voters react to that. They react to the human behaviour of people, and the absence of smarminess, the absence of weirdness, the absence of any of those things is big. So you heard Zach Polanski say that this is seismic and that something absolutely massive is underway. You are allowed to disagree. This isn't a victory party. This is a phone-in show that seeks to reflect as many different perspectives as possible. But the question has become pretty obvious in the last 5 minutes, hasn't it? Is he right? Is Hannah Spencer right? Is Zach Polanski right? Is something very important currently underway in the green corner of UK politics? Hit the numbers now. You will get through. 0345 6060 973. Dominic Ellis has your headlines.
The leader of the Green Party, Zach Polanski, says voters are ready for an alternative to Labour after his party won the Gorton and Denton by-election. The Greens overturned a 13,000 majority to win the Greater Manchester seat. Hannah Spencer, a local plumber, becomes the Greens' fifth MP in Westminster. Labour finished third behind Reform UK. A man's been charged following a security alert at Manchester Central Mosque on Tuesday evening. Officers were called to reports of an armed man arriving during Ramadan prayers. Darren Connor, who's 55, has been charged with possession of an offensive weapon. And a man's been arrested after the statue of Sir Winston Churchill in Westminster was defaced with graffiti. Anti-Zionist slogans were sprayed onto the sculpture in Parliament Square overnight. LBC weather, cloudy for many areas with rain, especially across central and southern parts. Some bright spells for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC.
At Lloyds, we love that moment a dream becomes a reality. Like for Rob, he's in the supermarket when his phone bleeps. It's his daughter. She's in Manchester, at uni. The message is short. She's happy. And just like that, Rob knows every penny he invested and saved was worth it. He texts her back, heart emoji. At Lloyds, we've been asking the nation about their dreams. That's how we know Rob's story and thousands of others just like it. We've been backing the nation's aspirations for 250 years. So when it's time to realise your dreams, we're ready when you are. Bank on Lloyds.
With up to £3,000 every year towards career growth at Amazon, I started in the warehouse, knowing I could train in things like coding or robotics. It turns my job into a career. So it means I can be who I want to be, even if I haven't quite decided who that is yet.
Amazon, opening doors with up to £3,000 every year towards career growth. Eligibility conditions about type and duration of employment apply.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £139 million!
It's so exciting, I could do the splits!
Oh, should have stretched first.
Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
James O'Brien. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
I can't remember the last time we did this. I'm about to play you a clip of a politician, not currently a parliamentarian, of course, but the leader of the Green Party, which now has five MPs. I'm about to play you a clip and just simply say, is he right? Give me a ring. 03456060973. Before that, though, I've just been handed the Tory party's comments on last night's election result. And I honestly, I mean, I know you might think you would say that, wouldn't you? But who cares? I mean, genuinely, who cares? Hands up if you give a monkeys about what the Tories have had to say about last night's result, where I think they lost their deposit. When's the last time that one of the two major parties lost their deposit in a by-election? When's the last... I tell you what, here's a question. Lewis Goodall probably knows. When is the last time the Tories lost their deposit in a by-election? Absolutely extraordinary. So I've been handed a piece of paper that contains comments from a spokesperson for the Conservative Party. Hands up if you care. How long till the emergency tape kicks in? How long can I... 6 seconds, is it? Okay, how long was that then? Were you worried? A little bit. Maybe we should get some tumbleweed ready or something like that. Just to, so anyway, do you want to hear it? No, I don't care, actually. Flip it. 10:36 is the time. Here's Zach Polanski describing what he thinks is happening.
Labour's electoral stranglehold is over. This is a seismic victory. We have torn the roof off British politics. And that's because people now recognise there is an alternative. Hannah Spencer and the team just ran the most incredible campaign, crystal clear about what Hannah stands for and what the Green Party stands for. To lower people's bills, to protect the National Health Service, and to rebuild our public services. This was the 127th target seat for the Green Party. Why is that relevant? It means there is no longer any no-go areas for the Green Party.
Is it? Is it? Have they do you? 03456060973. Jane's on the Wirral. Jane, what do you reckon?
Right then. So.
Right then. Whoa, that's fighting talk.
I only call you when I've been up like 40 hours on account.
Go on.
However, we had a conversation probably about a year and a half ago that it was the other way around. Why aren't the Greens succeeding?
Yes.
We had this conversation and I said it's because there's a gaping hole on the left and nobody knows about the Green Party's social policies and we need to talk about them more. And then we got a leader who talked about them more.
Yes.
As an example of how things have been changed, there's this kind of positive feedback loop going on. So the more they get talked about, the more people think, oh, that's a good idea. We had a Northwest Green Party branch meeting end of last year, and we had to keep getting a bigger room. We used to have 20 or 30 people turn up. We had 200 or 300 turn up, and people were frustrated in Manchester, frustrated because they wanted. There were 2,000 people saying, "We're new members. What can we do?" Yeah, and we're so used to there being only four people and a dog turn up. We didn't know how to manage it, but we know that by-election was a godsend because we had thousands of people desperate to do something. I can give you another sort of anecdote. I'm on the Wirral, and one of my jobs is to phone up people when they join the party, so okay. I know why people are joining the party.
Okay.
And we have days in September. Where we get
you carry on like this, you're going to get a Ray Liotta. You realise that, don't you? I mean, literally, I'm doing a phone-in about what's going on, and your job is to ring them up and ask them why they're joining the party.
Yeah, it would be my second Ray Liotta, so you don't give it to me. the other one was a science question. So, yeah, we're getting 40 people a day that was the peak during the party.
Why?
Well, there's three reasons that are about the bakery. There's about a third. I joined the Green Party because Labour left me about 5 years ago, and I just thought, fuck this, I've had enough.
Okay.
And I joined the Green Party. A lot of people are feeling the Labour Party has left them. But there's more, I think the more important one, there's a big chunk of people who have never joined a party, who've never been part of anything like this. They're usually quite young, and they just go, this is hopeful, and I feel good about it. They might have followed Corbyn.
I'm not going to badger the witness, but what do they feel good about? What is it that you're selling that they are buying?
Hope for what? Ending inequality, ending neoliberalism, ending trickle-down economics.
It feels like a song that's reaching its conclusion, doesn't it? And I mean, sorry, and the third thing. So people have left Labour, people feel hope, and the third thing?
Yeah. Scared of reform.
Yeah, scared of racism and division and Trumpism and fascism.
There's a big chunk of people who are just horrified at the attitude of immigration.
They're called decent. Yeah. I think the word is decent. Decent people who are terrorised, if you like, by indecency, by weapons-grade hideousness, racism, anti-Semitism, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the campaign manager, even reform had to suspend a campaign manager for saying that he wouldn't, reportedly saying that he wouldn't touch a Jewish woman or the various other examples of racism as well. So that's not a manifesto, is it? I don't like the Labour Party. I feel a bit of hope and reform a racist.
Yeah, but there is because it's the whole thing about ending. We've had Thatcherism since Thatcher, basically. And trickle down economics does not work.
But what does the alternative look like apart from a wealth tax
Let's take you back to after the Second World War, which is obviously before me and before you.
Thank you.
Yes. And we had a national debt of about 250% GDP. We had severe housing shortages. We had a government that created the NHS, built thousands of council homes, and they did it on a combination of borrowing to invest and taxing wealth the same as taxing income. In fact, there was 98%. Tax, I think, ought to be duffed on capital gains and wealth.
98% income tax in the 1960s as well.
80
under Labour, which even the Beatles sang about. But it's not, it's too early to tie you down into the finer detail of things, because hope is sometimes, it's an emotion, isn't it, rather than a fact-based response. What is fact-based, if you look at Reform versus Green, is that they both depict a country that has been brought low by decades of politics as usual. And if we focus exclusively on distribution of wealth as the biggest item of evidence of that process, then you are offering a choice to voters of either blaming unhappiness on foreigners or blaming unhappiness built upon an unfair distribution of wealth on the people, who've got all the wealth.
Yeah, asset hoarding is the biggest problem.
In those terms, it should be 100%. Because who is most responsible for the fact that you are not able to go on holiday even though you're working full time? Who is most responsible for the fact that you are working extremely hard and can't get on the property ladder, or you're a young person who can't leave home? Is it the bloke who arrived on a boat in Dover last night, or is it the bloke who is the treasurer of the Reform UK Party and has made billions of pounds selling ridiculous properties to ridiculous people, often, of course, foreigners?
Precisely. And it's not about the money you get through a wealth tax. It's about the state which how it starts to challenge inequality and change the picture.
Inequality. I hear you, and I'm not going to labour this point because it's not about me, but the thing I used to cling to, and still part of me does, the idea that you can't put the hope salesman in charge because hope won't pay the bills, is falling apart when you look at the people who you did put in charge, the Osbornes and, to a much lesser extent, the Starmers, whose competence is questionable. So, there it is. Is it seismic? Is there something massive underway? I'm afraid that the co-chair of the Wirral Green Party is bound to say yes. But she made some powerful and persuasive points. I would remind you at 10:43 this morning, this extraordinary morning in the history of British politics, whether or not it turns out to be the beginning of something even more extraordinary or not, this is a moment Make no mistake, the Tories lost their deposit. The Labour Party, the Labour government came third in a seat that it's held for over 100 years. And on this morning, my question to you is, what exactly is going on? And my reminder to you is that you are welcome and indeed encouraged to challenge and refute the claims by Zach Polanski and Hannah Spencer just a few moments ago that they are on the march, that something very big and very significant is happening, that there are no no-go areas for the Greens and that they could be a party of government. Phone me and tell me why that, in your view, is a load of old toot. On 03456060973, or, of course, join the clamour of voices telling me that something very important is underway. Henry Reilly was there for the count. He'll join me shortly with a very, very special contribution from one of the candidates who had a very personal message for me, apparently. Ooh, I wonder what that could be.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC. The Green Party celebrate a win in the Gorton and Denton by-election.
There's no area in England and Wales that's a no-go area for the Green Party.
How damaging is this for Labour?
We went to the election in 2024 promising to be a party which can deliver. Goodness me, I can't remember how many U-turns.
What does it mean for reform? I'll be joined by a former Green Party leader this afternoon from 4. Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2025 Amazon packaging data across the UK and EU.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for Saturday's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto. From the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Get 3 months half price when you switch to an unlimited SIM with Three. That means quick streaming, faster downloads, and more money to spend on the things you love. Join the UK's fastest 5G network and get your unlimited SIM today. Buy now in store or see 3.co.uk.
Unlimited 24-month light plan. Proof of switching required. Based on Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved. Subject to credit checks and terms.
Forecasting sun with 100% chance of beach. There's not long left to get up to £500 off package holidays in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Plus get up to 20% off flights. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Sale ends 3rd of March. Holidays min spend and ATOL protected. T's and C's apply.
My name's Mark and this is my NHS story. The sensation in my neck was painful all the time. Once I spoke to my GP, they referred me to my CDC. They got me in very, very quickly. The amount of pain I went through for something so easy, why hadn't I done this 4 months before?
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
It's 10:47. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. We will cross imminently to Henry Reilly in Manchester, who attended the count. That the phone-in that we're having, very simply, is about whether something absolutely massive is underway, as Hannah Spencer, the victorious candidate, has claimed, whether or not something seismic is happening, as Zach Polanski has claimed. Henry Reilly joins us now. Where do you want to start, Henry?
Well, it was an extraordinary night, James. Probably a bit of an understatement, really. Usually with these sort of elections, you get we knew it was going to be close. There was an opinion poll that had the candidates all within a percentage point of each other, the top three, i.e. Reform UK, the Greens and Labour, and we really had no idea which way it would go. And it was quite interesting because given the majority, which was close to 4,500, normally you would expect a fair few whispers, but I think the Greens didn't really want to risk it, to be honest, or jinx it, because they've never won a parliamentary by-election before. I was actually stunned when I was talking with one of their officers at the count to find out that, I mean, they do so typically poorly in by-elections. Their best result is actually only 10%, which seems sort of hard to imagine. They got that in 2023 at the Somerton and Froome by-election, but of course won this with 41% of the vote, and the result was declared in the early hours.
Spencer, Hannah, Catherine, the Green Party, 14,980.
And you played earlier on the clip of Hannah Spencer talking about the plumbing jobs that she now has to cancel as a result of her victory. Of course, she's now a plasterer, something Drew spoke about her training to become. But of course, that is on pause for the moment. But one key moment of her speech as well seemed to be very much aimed at Reform UK. Take a listen to what Hannah Spencer had to say about the divisive nature of the campaign.
I can't and won't accept this victory tonight without calling out the politicians and divisive figures who constantly scapegoat and blame our communities for all the problems in society. My Muslim friends and neighbours are just like me, human.
Hannah Spencer, towards the end of her speech, which, I mean, she was late to the result. We were all actually waiting, and actually it was mostly the Labour figures at the count who I think were keen to go home and to sleep this one off, who were all complaining. But I think, honestly, they were semi-writing the speech, I heard afterwards, that there were a few things they wanted to tweak, and they wanted to make sure that she got it absolutely right. So her and the leader, Zach Polanski, I think were sort of on the notes. Yeah, they were on the notes section of iPhone, I hear, apparently, sort of rejigging a few bits right at the last minute, hence why they really didn't expect to win. Now, Matthew Goodwin, the ex-academic-turned-TV presenter, was, of course, the Reform UK candidate, much criticised during the campaign for previous comments, not least at some points directed towards his now party leader, Nigel Farage. I mean, at one point he hinted that Mr. Farage was not fit to be Prime Minister. Comments made previously, by the way, not during the election, but nonetheless they did resurface.
Well, they've all said
after
that, haven't
the
they?
All declared, the, all, of course, at one point...
Sorry, carry on.
No, well, no, you're right. You're right to point that out, that there have been instances where you have had reform politicians before they've joined, when they've been in other guises, criticising Nigel Farage. But Matthew Goodwin, when the result was declared, he didn't clap. Most of the candidates on stage did congratulate Hannah Spencer. He refused to do so, and afterwards said that the result shouldn't be celebrated and that there was now a clear dividing line in British politics.
Lucy Powell said Reform finishing ahead of Labour in Greater Manchester would be existential for the Labour Party. What you're seeing today, I think, is the rise of the new politics. On one side is the Greens. They want to legalise crack cocaine, heroin and have open borders. On the other side is Reform. We want to control the borders. We want to invest in our own people. We want to prioritise the British hard-working majority. This is the future of British politics. I think British people are going to wake up tomorrow. They're going to think, we've got to make a choice. Do we want to go with Mad Zach and the Greens, or do we want to go with Nigel Farage and a Reform government?
Is there something that you've heard from various Reform figures?
Yes, for the people of Gorton and Denton, it was a choice between, do you want to go for a plumber, or do you want to go for an ex-academic, a bitter ex-academic who now plies his trade on a television station set up to appease racists? Obviously, you could never say that, but I can. I was struck by one thing you said, which was that they weren't expecting to win. They weren't expecting to win, really? Or they weren't expecting to win by so much? That surprised me. I thought that the Greens had a bit of a spring in their step of late, and I felt that the hideous attacks launched by the weirdos at the Daily Mail suggested that the enemies were worried that they were doing well as well.
Well, the sense I got was that, and from the Greens on the ground, was ultimately sort of going back to that statistic that they've never won a by-election before. Whilst they've won seats before, Hannah Spence will become their fifth MP. They didn't really want to jinx it, and they were fairly worried, but they certainly did not expect to win with a majority of 4,500. That certainly came as a surprise. Now, of course, it wasn't just those candidates, the top three. There are other candidates when it comes to a parliamentary by-election. And I did actually get a James O'Brien endorser, who was alongside one of the other parties.
One of the real heavy hitters, no doubt.
Yeah, well, what? The deputy leader of the official monster-raving loony party, pardon? Lord Psycho Billy Tractor, told me this.
My official name is Lord Psychobilly Tractor. I have posted into James O'Brien when I was standing as a parliamentary candidate for Crewe in Nantwich a few years ago. And we've just got a couple of policies that are there. So one of the policies is we're going to put all schools in tower blocks to raise the levels of education. And then we're going to change the alphabet from 26 letters down to 23 letters, because these governments have been ignoring the letters N, H and S for years.
There's a cheese?
I don't know anything about cheese.
Well, can I?
So we're going to ban pre-shredded cheese to make Britain great again.
Well, we like that. Have you got a message for James O'Brien if he's listening to this?
James, when I'm sitting in your tractor at 10 o'clock in the morning and your speech goes on and on and on, I am listening to you and I love your show. You are fantastic, brother.
Last question. There's a vicious rumour spread by Sir Oinkalot there that you guys have been in the pub before coming here. Can you confirm those rumours?
Well, the rumours are true, but we do wear hats and no one knows what's under the hat. I think we might have a couple of logs in there.
I won't tell anyone. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Cheers. Ciao, bro.
That's it. I can retire. An official endorsement from the Monster Raving Loony Party. Yeah, I need to know something. In fact, I almost want to order you to do this. But who is the next politician you're going to interview by simply saying the word cheese in an interrogatory fashion?
I know. And
Jenrick. Do it to really Robert Jenrick. Get a microphone under Robert Jenrick's chin and just say cheese and see what he does.
I know. It's not quite that is a disgrace, Liz Truss moment with regards to cheese. But it was only because, I know it seems like I brought it up, but I didn't. I don't know if you can hear in the background, but someone does say, tell him your policy on cheese, because they thought you'd be interested, James. But what did make me laugh was, I didn't note, whilst it was an endorsement, they weren't pleading for you to stand as a candidate, so it only went so far.
No, I mean, I know my limitations, Henry, unlike Matthew Goodwin, it would seem. I don't know whether you're in the position that we have to wait until you're presenting a show on LBC to find out your opinions, but there is absolute euphoria now surrounding this result, and they may have been conferring last night on what exactly to say in the acceptance speech, because they'd be aware of the absolute importance of coming across as professional and credible, which they've categorically done. But they haven't held back on the hyperbole this morning, talking about seismic results and sounding like a party that thinks, like Reform, that they're in with a decent chance of winning elections up and down the country.
Quite, and it's normally a position that's taken up, or has been taken up, certainly under the last Tony Blair, Gordon Brown government, by the Lib Dems, isn't it? Yeah. Winning from the left of the Labour Party as that sort of protest vote. Now, the Lib Dems, I don't think, ever expected to do well in this seat. They only got 2% alongside the Conservatives, who lost their deposit for the first time in an English by-election since 1983. So, whilst, again, they didn't expect to win, it's a pretty hapless night for them and Kemi Badenoch. But yes, I mean, and understandably, I mean, the Greens really trying to assert themselves now as that third party, actually, and usurp the Lib Dems, although noting they have 72 MPs, and it's all a very confusing picture, I think, James, is probably the best way of summarising it.
Beautifully done, Henry. You have earned your sleep, although I don't know whether Sheila will require your services, so it may just be a cat nap as opposed to a proper kip. But safe journey home, safe travels home. It's 10:58, you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Something that you may not have picked up on in Hannah Spencer's acceptance speech, and indeed in the speech this morning, hitting public services, cost of living, NHS, the quotidian grind of making ends meet. Nothing in either of their speeches about ecological or environmental issues. I don't know how significant that is, but it's very, very interesting, and it's very, very bad news for Labour. Because, as I said to you earlier, I haven't heard a Labour politician speak so powerfully and so passionately about the genuine concerns of ordinary people. You can find Farage and his cronies banging on about immigration all the time and pretending that they care about ordinary people while signing up billionaires to run their fundraising efforts. But you can't focus upon ordinary people without talking about the things that Hannah Spencer talked about today. It's coming up to 11 o'clock, and we've barely got the phone in underway yet, so no surprises for guessing what we'd be doing in the next hour. We're returning to the question of, how big a deal is this? You probably sensed from my tone and general mood this morning that I'm surprisingly excited by this result. I find myself increasingly drawn to the idea that if things are going to be shaken up beyond all recognition in the context of the two-party system, then I'd much rather that the shake-up look like this than look like the other lot. I don't know if that's enough to sustain momentum with a small m, ironically enough, but I'm more interested, to be honest, this morning in what you think.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, the Green Party leader says their victory in the Gorton and Denton by-election shows voters are ready for an alternative. The Greens took the seat held by Labour for almost a century. They overturned a 13,000 majority to secure their first seat in the north of England. The Greens leader, Zach Polansky, called it a seismic victory.
We have torn the roof off British politics. And that's because people now recognise there is an alternative. Hannah Spencer and the team just ran the most incredible campaign, crystal clear about what Hannah stands for and what the Green Party stands for. To lower people's bills, to protect the National Health Service, and to rebuild our public services.
The former Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner says Labour's loss must be a wake-up call for the party. Labour finished third behind Reform UK. Hull East MP Carl Turner has told LBC Labour's struggling to get key messages across to voters.
We're delivering in policy areas, but we can't talk about it. National Health Service lists are coming down. I think West Streeting's doing a fairly good job, but we're nowhere near where we need to be. What we need to do, Nick, in my view, honestly, my humble opinion, is just deliver policy. Don't start messing around with stuff we've never heard about. Shagos this and Shagos that. I never even knew it existed until we started talking about it a few weeks ago.
In the last few minutes, Keir Starmer has said he will keep on fighting for the people who need a Labour government. A man's been charged following a security alert at Manchester Central Mosque on Tuesday night. Officers were called to reports of an armed man arriving during Ramadan prayers. Darren Connor, who's 55, has been charged with possession of an offensive weapon. He's due to appear before magistrates later today. An arrest has been made after the statue of Sir Winston Churchill in Westminster was defaced with graffiti. Anti-Zionist slogans were sprayed this morning. A 38-year-old man is being held on suspicion of racially aggravated criminal damage. And the former MasterChef presenter Greg Wallace has abandoned his legal claim against the BBC. He was sacked last July following an investigation into misconduct allegations. He'd been seeking £10,000 over claims the BBC failed to disclose his personal data, which the corporation denied. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 38 points at 10,884. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather cloudy for many areas with rain, especially across central and southern parts. Some brighter spells for Scotland and Northern Ireland. A high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
The Cupra Drive event is back. On top of existing offers, get £1,000 off across the range, including the dynamic Cupra 4Mentor, the sporty Cupra Terramar, and the daring Cupra Leon. Just order by 31st of March and collect by 30th of June. Follow your impulse. Search Cupra Drive Event. T's and C's and exclusions apply. UK retail customers 18 plus. New vehicles only. Subject to availability. Saving including VAT apply to the on-the-road price.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 11, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Just a quick idiot's corner for you. This is Nick. Labour literally cut energy bills by £115 on average this week. I really enjoyed your phone-in on it. Oh, wait. So just a little moment to reflect for Nick's benefit on what that phone-in would have sounded like. Okay, so Labour has reduced energy bills by, on average, £115, which we covered, obviously, on the programme as an event. Give me a ring now and tell me what you think about that. Tumbleweed, Keith. Don't let the alarm go off. No, thank you. Now, I know that my inbox often serves as a form of memento mori, but honestly, how thick do you have to be to think that you could do a phone-in about a 115% drop in the average energy bill? Are you pleased about the 100... Yes, I am, James. Oh, marvellous. And now we go to Doris in Ongar. Doris, how do you feel about the £115 drop in your energy... Oh, I'm delighted, James. I now pay £115 on average, because, of course, it's not going to be the same in every household. Now we go to John in Deptford. John, what do you think about the 115... Now we go to Nick, who sent in a text. No, what do you think about the... Oh, I think it's great. I'm really... Oh, no, I'd like to pay more, James. I'd like to pay more for my... Oh, dear. Some days, I don't know why I bother, honestly. But this is not one of those days. This is a day for upbeat analysis of the winners, as opposed to downbeat analysis of the losers, although there'll be a small side order of that. How big a deal is this victory? Is it anywhere near as big a deal as Zach Polanski, the leader of the Green Party, and Hannah Spencer, the victorious candidate in Gorton and Denton, are claiming this morning that it is? I am persuadable that this is a very big moment, but I am certainly not certain. Jonathan is in Manchester. Jonathan, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. I'm from Reddish in Stockport, actually. Oh, yeah. So before the boundary changes, Andrew Gwynn was actually our MP. But in one of the things we've noticed in our area, particularly in the local elections recently, was we'd already started to see this shift towards the Green, as we've returned three councillors in our area to the Green Party for Stockport Council. So it's something we've already noticed, is this shift away from Labour towards the Green Party. But I think it comes down, particularly from my point of view, to a much more effective communication from them. What we've noticed is they seem to choose candidates that are able to really easily communicate to the public, and very importantly, that have a bit of charisma to them.
Yes.
Which I think, particularly in the case of Hannah Spencer, massive congratulations to her. But she's been such an effective communicator, and she's got just bundles and bundles of charisma, which I think is one of the big strengths that's put her ahead.
She's a class act. A class act, and she hit her marks beautifully last night and this morning. And at that point, I don't know if we're going to over-egg it, but the point about the things that she was hitting, the cost of living, the NHS, the daily grind, and not going near the classic areas, the cliched and stereotyped areas that the Greens are often associated with. Because, to pick up on your point, being good communicators is one thing. What is it they're communicating that people like so much?
I think it's the sense of hope. I think that's been a really important thing. They're one of the few sort of parties out there, and one of the only mainstream ones who's really pushing forward a positive message.
Yeah.
A message that there's something
we're
to
better
be hopeful
than this.
For.
We're better than this.
And also, we can do something about it. Yeah, things are bad at the minute, but we can actually change things to make them better.
How big a deal is Gaza?
It's, from my perspective, it's not something that's kind of on. I know all about what's going on there, but it's not a personal thing for me. But
it's not a coincidence that she's mentioned it in her speech, is it?
Given the sort of demographics of her area, I'd fully expect it to be a big...
I think it's bigger than that. We'll struggle to meet a young person who doesn't have very, very passionate views about the genocide in Gaza, regardless of their demographics, regardless of their ethnicity, their religion or their background. And no other party is speaking for that demographic, for those people.
Yeah, they're not sort of shy at actually sort of tackling the issue head on, whereas a lot of the other parties have kind of been very kind of treading on eggshells around the subject.
Yes.
They're not sort of afraid to kind of sort of nail their colours to the mast, as it were. But that's overall, I think, you can take that as that one part of their offering.
Yeah. And they're obviously hitting that drum frequently. So I think the wealth tax, which is, again, a big umbrella under which you can smuggle in an awful lot, and of course you're in opposition, so it's easier to avoid specifics and detail, much easier. That's not a criticism, by the way. Labour do the same when they're in opposition. So the wealth tax speaks to unfairness, it speaks to distribution of wealth, it speaks directly to people working hard and not feeling as if they're making progress. Like, I always think of a fixed gear bicycle. I'm a relative newcomer to fixed gear bicycles, and you hit a moment on a fixed gear bicycle where you can't go any faster. Please don't let me continue with this line of conversation if I've completely misunderstood what a fixed gear bicycle is. But I was riding a bicycle not long ago, and it reached a point where you couldn't go any faster. Even if my legs had developed Popeye-style post-spinach muscles, and I'd been pedalling it wouldn't have gone any faster. And that's how people feel. They're treading water, they're working hard, they're not making progress, they're not moving forward. And the offer at the moment is either to blame it all on your brown neighbours, or the black people in adverts, or to blame it on the people who have got all the money. And it's not just the owners of industry and the owners of companies and the owners of things. It's also the people who run companies where their own workers are having their wages subsidised by universal credit while dividends are being paid to shareholders. I've felt for some time that is an unsustainable status quo. A journey that began in the 1980s with Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan, and I am an expert of sorts, at risk of sounding like Daddy Pig, on the effort that's put into sustaining this status quo. You find me a broadcast or a print outlet that doesn't routinely invite secretly funded, unqualified or underqualified weirdos to come on and represent the free market without being required to tell you who's paying their wages or where on earth they're pulling this so-called research from. And I'll find you a very, very rare beast in the British media. The dedication to sustaining that inequality is immense and often invisible. Oh, here's someone from the Grifters Alliance to tell us why it's very, very important that we don't regulate companies that are poisoning our children, or indeed exposing them to pornography, because it would be an insult to our civil liberties or our freedom of speech. Think about it. You can name the people, probably. I think the Greens offer an alternative to that. And the Labour Party hasn't, so far, managed to do that. Staying up north, staying in the northwest actually, from Manchester to Macclesfield, which is only two stops on the train, going through Ardwick, if I remember correctly. Charlotte, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Nice to speak to you. I wanted to let you know my experience that I've been out in Gorton and Denton quite a few times campaigning for Hannah in this campaign.
Okay.
I was there all day yesterday, and I haven't done political campaigning for years, really. I was a Labour Party member, but it was just so depressing. It's so depressing. You've got nothing to motivate you to go out to when there is no hope, when everything is so kind of small C conservative, so kind of like, well, we can't do that and we don't want to say this, and that's going a bit far. That doesn't motivate people. And what I've found campaigning for Hannah is what I think is big about this moment is the people power, the number of people motivated to travel there from all over the country, people mainly Green members, but not completely Green members, lots of people who've only become members like within a few weeks, just sort of right now there is something happening. I think so many of us, just from my connection, just from people who've like messaged me this morning on social media and texting me, like we've all just watched the news, like with our mouths open, crying.
You really feel this is it. This is the big time, baby.
I just think, like, there's so much. We are so distressed by Trump, by the rise of the far right, by just horrible things happening in our country, and there not being a proper movement against it. We just need a leader. And for me, I feel like, right now, I mean, Hannah was an amazing candidate.
She
communicates incredibly well. She really is. There's a real ground game. And I would say, like, you know, this isn't just about people from outside the constituency coming in. This has been led from within the constituency. But, you know, all this nonsense about sectarian campaigning. There are loads of Muslims from within the constituencies that are on Hannah's team, supporting the team. Like, this isn't about, you know, kind of do-gooders coming in from outside.
No, but, you know, in Nigel Farage's defence, absolutely no electoral offences have been reported at the Gorton and Denton by-election.
No.
Sorry,
no.
I say in his defence? To render him even more ridiculous than he makes himself look every day, absolutely no electoral offences have been reported at the Gorton and Denton by-election, which won't stop them whining and wailing from the rooftops. Extraordinary that Goodwin didn't even applaud his I mean, everyone,
no,
that's just so graceless, isn't it?
His horrible scowling face behind Hannah, and Hannah's just, like, so full of life. She's such a...
If she'd lost, she'd have clapped.
Sorry, I didn't... Yeah,
if she'd lost, she'd have clapped.
Absolutely, she would have done. She's just... She's, like, Hannah and Zach, have met both of them on this campaign, and they're both exactly what you see. Like, they're both really everything that you would see them as when they're doing kind of public speaking. They're the same in real life, and it's just a really people-led movement. Everyone comes with kind of equality and just a commitment and motivation. Let's see if we can change things. Let's see if we can fight back and say what we really stand for.
I think a year ago I would be barking at, well, certainly a few years ago, I'd be barking at you now about how hope doesn't pay the bills and hope doesn't help Ukrainians and hope in Gorton and Denton doesn't bring Vladimir Putin to the table. Or do you know what I mean? I'd have been a little bit impatient, I think, with the vagueness of some of the things that the Green supporters are saying. But I'm not impatient today, and that's probably me being infected by this contagion of hope.
Is, I mean, I think we've all been told you have to be pragmatic, you have to be realistic, go slowly, go gently, win battles. And Hannah is a pragmatist. You know, she's in politics. She makes alliances in the stuff she's done in the, you know, in the council. Like, we all know that you can't always get everything you want and you have to fund things. But you don't have to fund your values and your principles. You can speak up honestly and clearly for what is right. Mm. And even if you can't win people over to that, you can, like, I think that's the thing that I find Zach so compelling in media performances, that, you know, you listen to Labour MPs when they just can't even say that something that's obviously racist is racist.
Yeah, or they're frightened, aren't they?
Or they can't speak up and defend the dignity of trans people and their right to be able to use a toilet.
Mm.
And, like, Zach just says it. He just says, he doesn't need an opinion poll or a focus group to know what is right, because that's leadership. Moral leadership is saying, this is right, this is always right. We might not achieve everything we want. We might have to make compromises to bring everyone on board, but we can still say what we believe.
Well,
that,
I mean,
you are, inspires people.
I wonder whether you're partly describing the difference between government and opposition, although I don't remember many senior Labour politicians being that outspoken, even when they were in opposition. They were a lot more outspoken than they can be in power. Because what you're saying, and I know you're aware of this, that he can say the stuff that is in his heart, and he can mean it, but when he's in power, he wouldn't necessarily be able to deliver it. And at the moment, that doesn't matter to voters. Because they just want to hear what's in his heart.
Yeah, and I think, like, if I'm quite honest, this moment of hope is fragile. We've all been hurt before, haven't we? We've all had moments of hope. You know, I remember 97... when Blair got in, and, you know, and they did achieve a lot of great things, but there are a lot of other ways that they left people feeling let down. And, you know, we all know that these sort of elated moments don't always last. But let's take it while we've got it. Let's have a moment of hope, because we need it to motivate us.
And
because ultimately, we've got to fight back against the far right, and we've got to unite, and we've got to form alliances.
Well, that is not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that from you. I'm not hearing that from the leadership of the Green Party, or indeed the Labour Party at the moment. We're a long way out from a general election, but the likelihood of coalition government has probably not been this high in the best part of a decade and a half. I don't know that for sure, but when you think about all of the seats that are going to be very, very carefully scrutinised now by the pollsters and the planners and the cephologists, you wonder whether everything is now up in the air. But it is only one by-election. And, of course, I very much subscribe to the importance of keeping the far right out of power, because I don't want people to be... I don't want to see all of the things that you see when far-right governments are in power. People being swept up off the streets. Happily, we don't have armed police, but if we did, you'd be seeing people shot in the face for nothing, no reason at all, like you're seeing in Donald Trump's America. If I were making a list, though, what would be on it? I'm going to have to ask for a little bit more than hope, just in the context of our conversation. And I haven't had a call yet from anybody who wants to explain why this is all pie in the sky and nonsense and everybody should calm down and start recognising reality. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I haven't had it. No one's popping the balloon yet, apart from our friend who thinks we should be having phone-ins about the £115 on average that energy bills are going to be coming down by. Who wants to pop the balloon on 0345 6060973? I can't promise that I'll let you. I might try and blow it up again, even as you're stabbing pins into it. But it would be quite nice to hear a less enthusiastic voice with regard to last night's result. 19 minutes after 11 is the time.
This is LBC.
Whether your dreams involve epic adventure, trying something you've never done before, or just some time to fully relax, you can bank on Lloyds to help make it happen. We've been asking listeners what their aspirations are for the year ahead to help create the ultimate prize packages to inspire that first step. Enter now for your chance to win one of three incredible experiences, thanks to Lloyds and the nation's aspirations. Choose the prize for you at lbc.co.uk.
At Lidl, we value all the good that value brings. But what do you value? You value the quiet victory of a school run that glides without a hitch, the lunchbox negotiations. You value filling your boot, bringing everything and everyone to the table. You value your food, real food, fresh food, quality that speaks for itself. And so do we, giving you more to value at every step, every day. Lidl, more to value.
AO members get 10% off hundreds of laundry appliances in AO's Big Spin event. Save a load on brands like Haier, AEG and Hisense. Membership also unlocks unlimited free delivery and free recycling of your old appliance. All from the UK's most trusted electrical retailer. Join now and start saving at AO.com. Verify at AO.com/trust. Membership charged annually at £39.99.
A message from TfL.
I saw him in the local news a few days after. His name's Rakesh. They had to put him into a coma just because I didn't look again at that turning. He had two kids. How did I not see his bike ahead of me? Well, I didn't look again. He didn't make it.
Drivers, take another look, not a life. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It's 21 minutes after 11. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. The question of how big a deal this is, how seismic it is, to use one of Zach Polanski's words, is one that will continue to concern us. But it would be a little bit remiss of us not to look at what it means across the bigger picture. We'll do that as well. That mention there, our last caller, Charlotte in Macclesfield, and of course I've made two huge mistakes on the programme this week. Shall I offer a mystery hour game to whoever identifies both of them? Can't do that, can I? Terms and conditions. It's a problem with having so many listeners. You know, 10 years ago, I could do whatever I wanted on this show. No one had ever noticed. But I don't even think Ardwick is in between Macclesfield and Manchester. Stockport is the big station if you're on the train between Macclesfield and Manchester. But also, of course, if you get the slow train, Cheadlehue and Bramall, Poynton and Adlington. And Presbury. Don't forget Presbury, Keith. And the other massive mistake I made, and what's really annoying about this mistake, is that I was, and you'll find this very hard to believe, I was being a little bit condescending at the time. So we took a call while we were talking about the Royals, presumably Andrew Windsor, and the caller was being a bit mean about Prince Harry, which I have very little patience with because of the disgusting way in which he's been treated by the media in this country and his wife. And so I was being quite sure. He said, well, he can't be king. He can never be king. We should remove him from the line of succession because he doesn't live here. And I very condescendingly said, well, have you heard of George I? And then I kept mentioning Bavaria. To the best of my knowledge, well, my knowledge isn't very useful in this context. To the best of anybody's knowledge, George I never went to Bavaria. I got Bavaria and Hanover mixed up. And there's no excuse for that, because they're called the Hanoverians. It's the House of Hanover. So I'm condescending to a poor hapless caller for suggesting that Harry could never be king because he doesn't live here by pointing out that George I never lived here before he became king, nor, I suppose, technically, did William the Conqueror or William of Orange. But nonetheless, you can't get on your high horse with people if you then make a massive mistake like mixing up your Bavarias with your Hanovers. So what my brain would have done in that moment is it would have gone, Germany, it's in Germany, and it's got a V in it. It's in Germany, it's got a V, but Bavaria, Bavaria. And then I say it with my full chest, and I'm an idiot, because it was Hanover. So those are my two massive mistakes. On the show this week, I misrepresented the stops that lie between Manchester and Macclesfield on the railways, and I got Bavaria and Hanover mixed up while trying to condescend to somebody about their own royal knowledge, royal history knowledge. Sky's Sam Coates was the journalist who, via Buggins' turn, got to put the question to the Prime Minister Keir Starmer earlier today about what he makes of last night's events.
Very disappointing result. Incumbent governments quite often get results like that midterm, but I do understand that voters are frustrated, they're impatient for change. And I came into politics, late in life as it happens, to fight for change for those people who need it. The people who need an NHS that works for them. To be able to get a doctor's appointment when they need it. To get the money they need in their pockets to pay their bills. And to have a decent and better life. And I will keep on fighting for those people for as long as I've got breath in my body. I will also fight against the extremes in politics, on the right and the left, parties who want to tear our country apart. The Labour Party is the only party that can unite our country and our communities, and we will line up together in that fight against the extremes of the left and the right for the values that we believe in. It is very easy for other parties to identify the grievance. That's the easy bit. The hard yards is providing the solution and turning the country around to improve the lives of millions of people. That is the mission, that is what we had a mandate to do, and that's what I'm laser focused on.
Okay, that doesn't sound like anything would change. Can you explain, because I genuinely don't understand it, why you ran such a bizarre campaign in Gordon and Denton? The whole by-election was about Labour beating Reform, but you were beaten by the Greens. Was it all just too clever by half, or were you just a bit squeamish about taking on another progressive left-wing party?
The entire Labour Party, the entire movement came together to fight a positive campaign about bringing our communities and our country together. And we were fighting. Two parties, Reform on the right with their politics of hatred and division, the Greens on the left with their politics of getting out of NATO in the middle of the conflict with Ukraine, of legalising all drugs, including heroin and crack cocaine, to give to adults. They are the extremes in politics. They can identify the grievances. It's only Labour that can unite the country and communities, and only Labour that's rolling up its sleeves and getting on the hard yards, which is actually how do we turn this around, providing the solutions. That's what we're focused on.
Two final questions. Were you wrong to block Andy Burnham? Is there any bit of you that regrets that decision?
We had an excellent candidate in this by-election, and every single person who went campaigning, and I thank the candidate and I thank every single person who went campaigning for their positivity, and that we had an excellent candidate, absolutely rooted in her community. But we were fighting the extremes of the right and the extremes of the left. We are changing lives. That's what we came into politics to do, to fight for the people who need better lives, not just identify the grievances, not just tear our communities apart, but provide the solutions and unite the country.
Why does he only ever sound like that when his back's against the wall, do you think? And wasn't it interesting? I picked up earlier on the fact that Hannah Spencer didn't mention ecological or environmental issues. So they're very keen, I think, to shrug off some of the historical stereotypes of the, and many justified stereotypes of the Green Party. But he sounded like he'd just listened to her. You may not have heard her acceptance speech earlier, but you just heard Keir Starmer responding to a really crushing loss for the Labour Party in Gorton and Denton. Here is the victorious candidate.
Things have changed a lot over the last few decades because working hard used to get you something. It got you a house, a nice life, holidays. It got you somewhere. But now, working hard, what does that get you? Because talk to anyone here and they will tell you. The people who work hard but can't put food on the table, can't get their kids' school uniforms, can't put their heating on, can't live off the pension they worked hard to save for, can't even begin to dream about ever having a holiday, ever. Because life has changed. Instead of working for a nice life, we're working to line the pockets of billionaires. We are being bled dry. And I don't think it's extreme or radical to think working hard should get you a nice life.
One big difference, but a lot of similarities between that and this.
Very disappointing result. Incumbent governments quite often get results like that midterm. But I do understand that voters are frustrated, they're impatient for change. And I came into politics late in life, as it happens, to fight for change for those people who need it, the people who need an NHS that works for them, to be able to get a doctor's appointment when they need it, to get the money they need in their pockets to pay their bills and to have a decent and better life. And I will keep on fighting for those people for as long as I've got breath in my body. I will also fight against the extremes in politics, on the right and the left, parties who want to tear our country apart. The Labour Party is the only party that can unite our country and our communities.
It is coming up to 11:30, so if Reform is cannibalising the Tories, is Green now embarked upon a process of cannibalising the Labour Party? Because there was an awful lot of agreement in those two clips, but only one winner. Here's Dominic Ellis with your headlines.
Sir Keir Starmer says he will keep on fighting for change following Labour's loss in the Denton and Gorton by-election. The Prime Minister says he understands that voters are frustrated and impatient for change. The Greens overturned a 13,000 Labour majority to win the seat in Greater Manchester. Labour finished third behind Reform UK. A man has been charged over a security alert at Manchester Central Mosque on Tuesday night. Darren Connor, who's 55, is accused of possession of an offensive weapon. And a 38-year-old man has been arrested after the statue of Sir Winston Churchill in Westminster was defaced with graffiti. Anti-Zionist slogans were sprayed this morning. The man's being held on suspicion of racially aggravated criminal damage. LBC weather, cloudy for many areas with rain, especially across central and southern parts. Some brighter spells for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 15 degrees.
This is LBC. At ulizprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulizprosperity.com.
Fly into flip-flop mode. There's not long left to get up to £500 off package holidays in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Plus, get up to 20% off flights. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Sale ends 3rd of March. Holidays, min spend and ATOL protected. T's and C's apply.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan. Gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits. Feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, mentor, more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. Affordable cover with a cash payout. Search Sun Life cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
This year at Amazon, we're increasing the electric vehicles used for deliveries across Europe to over 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep. Where babies are made a fuss of. Where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts. And where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden.
Can they have their ball back, please?
We're delivering change where it matters. On your doorstep. Based on projected delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU by end of 2026.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison. And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Do you have a co-op card or membership number?
Last year, Co-op's CEO confirmed that the personal data of all 6.5 million members was accessed in a major cyber attack. If you're a member, your information may have been exposed, and you could be entitled to compensation through a group action claim. Check your eligibility today at jointheclaim.com. It's quick, secure, and easy to do online at jointheclaim.com.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60973.
It's fascinating, isn't it, the science of insurgency or the political science of insurgency. So when an insurgent comes for you, you either crush them or copy them. Comey Badenoch presiding over quite possibly the end of the Tory party while congratulating herself on a daily basis on being the best politician in the history of humanity. It's wonderful spectator sport, but it is also quite a moment. So how not to deal with insurgency? By copying them. Labour now face this problem with the Green Party, potentially. Insurgents eating their lunch. What do you do? Wrap your arms around your lunch to make sure they can't get near it, or do a better job of encouraging people to follow you than they are doing of encouraging people to follow them? I don't know. I mean, if it was easy, then I'd write a book about it and retire. But here we are. I mean, this is a moment. Is it a moment of such significance that the likes of Zach Polanski and Hannah Spencer are claiming? I don't know. 0345 60 60 973 is the number you need, but it is a moment of significance for certain. Rob's in Southport. Rob, what would you like to say?
Hey, James. I've lived long enough.
Pull up a chair, light a pipe, stroke your beard.
Yeah, I know. I'm only 58. But I've lived long enough to remember the SDP.
Yes.
In, like, winning Bermondsey, I think, and the Liberal Democrats regularly winning seats off the Tories, then losing at the next general election. These things happen in by-elections, don't they? You say the Liberal Democrats were expert at it before, and in a way, to me, the Greens are sort of like the old-style Liberal Democrats.
Well, I mean, listen, fair play to you for having a crack at popping the balloon, but as far as I can tell, it's still inflated. Because the SDP are, it's tricky, isn't it, to historically unpick these things. But if General Galtieri hadn't invaded the Falkland Islands, that trajectory that the SDP found themselves on in the early 1980s could have been sustained. I mean, it would quite possibly have carried on. It was the enormous sort of surge of support for Margaret Thatcher after presiding over a successful military campaign that in many ways did for them, and of course the replacement of Michael Foot ultimately with a much more palatable leader. I would draw, oddly enough, a parallel with Reform, actually, rather than the SDP, and say that actually the insurgent can end up, and I know they haven't actually turned it into a general election result yet. They've only got half a dozen MPs themselves, including the most ridiculous and disgraced Tories from the last various regimes and administrations. But just because it hasn't happened before doesn't mean it will never happen in the future.
There's another point that I think worries the media a lot, and that's why they're trying to, is this vote for 16-year-olds?
Yeah.
Because they're sure as hell they're not going to be voting for Reform. And we know exactly who they're going to be voting for, and that demographic is probably a lot bigger than the Reform demographic. So I think you've had this concerted campaign to try and bring the government down before it happens. Because I think it's the train coming down the track that you can see that happening.
There's not that many of them. I mean, it's we would never argue that 41 and 42 year olds or 56 and 58 year olds are going to be enough to deliver a general election. So why 16 and 17 year olds would be is...
Yeah, but it's on the margins, isn't it?
It could be. It could tip a few balances.
Yeah, and also it can tip the way that the parties... I mean, I'm not that upset about the Greens winning.
No, I can tell. You're just a little bit more cynical about all of the hopium that's being spread around the place.
It'd be like Kidderminster winning an FA Cup match, wouldn't it? And then we're ready for the Premier League. Right, bring anyone on.
Yeah, we stuffed you the other night.
I'm not a Southport fan.
Yeah, that's what they all say. It's 11:37. You're listening to James O'Brien on it. I don't think we did, actually. I think we drew. Thank you, Rob. So, I mean, there are, of course, voices of caution, but I do think it was the right decision earlier today to focus on the winners rather than the losers. We probably need to move that focus a little bit at some point, but not yet. Steve's in Kettering. Steve, what would you like to say?
Yeah, James, I'm also of a relatively mature age. I'm 60-plus, and I'm a retiree.
Okay.
I got involved in Greens about 2 years ago.
Why?
And, well, the voice in your head for years and years and years said, get involved in the community.
Yeah.
And I just had enough, and I've raised a family and had a bit more time, and it was time to put something back in. And what persuaded me to get involved was that, yes, you have the short-term victories, yes, you have the excitement, yes, you have the feel-good feelings, but behind that was an increasing number of what I would call mature, experienced, perhaps bitter and twisted and cynical people that got involved in the group. Because when I went to my first meeting, I thought I would be two or three decades older than the next oldest person. And what pleasantly surprised me was the spread of people that were involved in the Greens. And rather than looking like a protest group, they were looking like a party. So you had different personalities, different approaches. And that to me tells me that you've got a progression from the, we don't like this, let's have a shout, let's have a dig. and there's always going to be that. And that seems to get the media approach. And I understand why, because it's good for content and eyeballs and so on. But behind that, I saw a lot of decent people who wanted to get involved on the background of the green issues, which is the environment. So, yeah, we breathe, it's decent. The food we eat is great. The water that we have isn't polluting the environment, and that's the background. So that's your starting point on all issues. And what it also means is you don't necessarily have a monopoly of wisdom. So sometimes you need, and you will agree to disagree, with other parties of different colours, the reds and the blues, for example. And what I'm beginning to see, certainly in my local group, where we've got several local councillors and several county councillors, is first of all public support, and then secondly a recognition of a change in behaviour in terms of the protest governing mix is beginning to become more of the governing mix. And that's the difference between being involved in administrations and facing the unfortunate compromises that you need to make, and the ideal side, which says let's be a green Britain tomorrow. And these victories that you get certainly don't do any harm for morale. And they're also a proving point that the days of getting 3 or 4% of an area's vote are gone in many cases.
Yeah.
And that starts to, first of all, give you credibility, increase confidence.
It's a game changer in that sense, because, it's a bit like...
Well, it's one of many game changers.
Yeah.
We ended up with 8 councillors in an area, we're an island of green in a sea of blue.
Right.
And I would never have seen that 3 or 4 years ago. And different areas have different timescales. But I can remember the 80s in southwest London, where the Conservatives were always the main party, always.
Mm.
And now, southwest London, example, is Liberal. And now, for example, the east of England, we're seeing a number of ex-Conservative MPs.
So here's the thing. I've had a great... I don't think frustration is quite the right word, but I've been struck by the catch-all nature of the term grassroots movement. And it happened when I was with Bernie Sanders, actually, on stage in London last year, who I really like and I'm very impressed by, like most people. But it did strike me that night that on more than one occasion, his answer to quite a difficult question was, we need a grassroots movement to bring about the change. And I thought that was inadequate. But what you're describing to me, I think, with regards to your personal experience of and involvement with the Green Party, is pretty close to a grassroots movement. As you're describing a consolidation of both purpose and activity, and the idea that they've gone from being hecklers and protesters to being people preparing for politics and people who see themselves as a viable and realistic alternative to the status quo, as opposed to people who are just lobbing rotten tomatoes from the sidelines. And that then does begin to sound a little bit like a grassroots movement. And of course, what Bernie Sanders and people of his political ilk are usually talking about is a recalibration of wealth, a redistribution of wealth. The richest people in the world will still be the richest people in the world. They just won't have stupid and obscene amounts of money, while other people, as Hannah Spencer put it so powerfully, are working full-time and can't afford to go on holiday. Does that sound accurate to you? Does that sound... Have I understood you correctly?
I've never used that terminology, because it's sure. about listening with people, as all parties should do, and to differing degrees do anyway. So that term could be used by any particular party.
Yes, I know.
But I think... I'm
talking about the people who I have heard use it, and they're always talking about wealth taxes, what can we do to challenge neoliberalism, and what your party, what you've described to me your party is doing, is actually trying to come up with meaningful answers to those questions, rather than the sort of cop-out, the catch-all cop-out of simply saying we need grassroots movements, grassroots changes. It was a compliment, not a criticism. Thank you, Steve. Speaking of the media, as Steve did a moment ago, I even by the standards of Dick Littlejohn in the Daily Mail, his column today is an absolute masterclass in irrelevance and idiocy. It's almost unfair that they published it and didn't send it back to him and tell him to try harder. So Dick Littlejohn has written a column about how much better things were 25 years ago. Okay. How do you think he has educated himself on what things were like in Britain 25 years ago? Has he, do you think, possibly cast his mind back to before he moved to Florida, where he has written many of his columns over the years about how bad things are in Britain? Did he, for example, suddenly remember that he'd been a massive Tony Blair fan all along, and therefore dig out all his old notebooks from 2002 and try to work out where he went wrong, how he managed to get it so wrong? Or has Dick Littlejohn in the Daily Mail decided to write a piece about how much better things were 25 years ago because he's been watching some old episodes of The Bill? That's a multiple choice for you. Dick Littlejohn in the Daily Mail, writing about how much better things were 25 years ago, when he was largely writing columns in Florida about how terrible things were under Tony Blair. Has he changed his mind because he's gone off Florida? Because he suddenly remembered that he was a big Tony Blair fan all along and has dug out his old notebooks? Or has he been watching old episodes of The Bill, presumably while sitting on the sofa in pyjamas eating biscuits? Which one of those do you think has inspired Britain's greatest columnist to reflect upon how brilliant things were under Tony Blair in 2002? And I'll give you the answer after this.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
How the Prime Minister was describing or said his government would be in office.
We said we would end the chaos, and we will.
He promised to end the chaos. He promised a politics which would tread more lightly on our lives. Why has he not been able to do so?
He has promised to change the country, and that is exactly what we are doing.
Hear every side of the story.
Is that the end of the chaos now? One and done, or will there be more chaos?
Well, as you know, every week in politics brings its own challenges.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have promised to end the chaos then, because he promised it, and you promised it.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app, or the LBC app.
It's not easy being a clamp, stuck on the wheel of the one person on the street who didn't tax their car. Yeah, Graham at number 7, I'm talking about you. Bet the neighbourhood group chat is as well. Wish I had a group chat. Maybe I can chat to myself.
Hi, Clampy. How's it going?
Not great, Clampy. Being clamped to the only untaxed car for miles is so lonely.
Over 98% of drivers tax their vehicle on time. Tax it. Don't risk it. Visit gov.uk/DVLA/taxit.
Check you're on track for a happy retirement with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £139 million!
It's so exciting, I could do the splits!
Oh, should have stretched first.
Get in tonight's EuroMillions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
On your marks, get set, go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling. And smoother than your last online date. More confidence, more go. In a new hybrid engine with 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
At Lidl, we value all the good that value brings. But what do you value?
You value the quiet victory of a school run that glides without a hitch, the lunchbox negotiations. You value filling your booth, bringing everything and everyone to the table. You value your food, real food, fresh food, quality that speaks for itself. And so do we, giving you more to value at every step, every day. Lidl, more to value.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
James O'Brien. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It is 12 minutes to 12. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. And the answer, as not all of you guessed, is that Dick Littlejohn in the Daily Mail is writing a column today about how much better things were in Britain 25 years ago, when he was, of course, writing columns from his home in Florida about how awful things were in Britain at the time. But he's changed his mind. Things were brilliant 25 years ago because, wait for it, he's been watching old episodes of The Bill. I mean, they paid Boris Johnson a lot of money to write undiluted bilge in the Daily Mail. Maybe he was feeling left out. So he has written a column today. I'm not even putting unhinged headline on this because it feels cruel. It's almost as if we're mocking the afflicted. Old episode of The Bill that reveals how drastically Britain's changed in 25 years. And then in enormous capital letters, and not for the better. So, I mean, I don't know how much you saw yesterday of the Alistair Heath headline generator. I shared it on my Blue Sky account, and it was brilliant. Some of the headlines that were invented but just made me cry with laughter almost. But they also highlighted the thinness of the line between parody and reality. So this morning, someone's already been on there, how the bill being cancelled became the ultimate tool for the left to destroy our liberties. They all sound so plausible. They all sound like headlines that could easily have been written above an Alistair Heath article. Here's another. This is what you lot got up to yesterday. Our cowardly leaders have sacrificed Britain on the altar of Kidderminster Harriers. This one. Why James O'Brien's massive mug is the final fatal symptom of Britain's moral collapse. The plot to destroy James O'Brien's mystery hour proves Britain is ungovernable. And my favourite, this, I think they actually ran this as a proper article. This monstrous James O'Brien is a betrayal of Western civilization. But you've got loads more that had nothing to do with me. And you sort of think, where is the line between parody and reality? And today Dick Littlejohn writes a column about how brilliant things were in this country 25 years ago because he's been watching old episodes of The Bill. And I mean, it's probably worth reminding you that 25 years ago he was being incredibly misogynistic towards Cherie Blair, slagging off the Labour government at every opportunity and commenting upon the state of this country from his beach house in Florida. But that's what the Daily Mail wants. That's what they consider to be the necessary contributions to public discourse from their super soreaway star columnists. Wonder what he's going to watch next week. Probably Ed Ain't Half Hot Mum. And he'll come back with a column about how much better things were in the jungle during the war. I go, well, what could it be? Honestly, 11:51 is the time. I've got some unhinged headlines as well, some other unhinged headlines for you today, but it feels unfair to Daniel Hannan to compare his unhinged headline to the absolute gold standard that Dick Littlejohn has come out with today. I know how brilliant things were in Britain 25 years ago when I was writing columns about how awful things are from my home in Florida about my own country on the other side of the Atlantic because I've been watching all old episodes of The Bill. I don't know why this springs to mind.
Bird of Manning.
But it does. Steve's in Belfast to take us back to the Greens. Steve, what would you like to say?
Hiya, James.
Oh, hi,
another Steve, another retiree. Just two come at once.
Like buses.
The result yesterday was fairly stunning, but what's going to happen now, I think, is that Reform, Labour, all the other parties, and the media, including the Daily Mail, as you just said, are now going to take a protest vote. If it's seen as a positive vote, then it will give people permission to vote to say, actually, things will change, things will get better.
Yeah.
If it seems a protest vote, all that's going to happen is people are going to say, it doesn't apply to me, and it will dwindle. They do have, fortunately, they do have the Senate elections and the local elections. And if they can get the same push in those elections, people will believe more and people are like to carry it forward.
Well, this is the same with Plaid in Caerphilly. It does just prove that it's not only Labour that can stop the far right. And it extends beyond. The size of the win is significant here, by the way. We haven't talked enough about the size of the majority. I thought there was a chance they were going to be within, all three of the parties were going to be within 1,000 votes of each other. But the Greens put some clear green water, if you allow that ridiculously poor joke, some clear green water between themselves and the rest of them. 40.7% of the vote, with 28.7 in second place. That's a decent margin of victory. That's no protest.
Oh, indeed, that is a decent victory, but it can still be seen as, well, that's actually people voting tactically to stop reform rather than voting for the Greens.
Yeah, well, it's both, isn't it?
If people get permission to vote for the Greens, then things will change.
Then they'll get even more worried. You see, I mean, I'm slightly obsessed, as I demonstrated a moment ago, with the poison that the Daily Mail has poured into our public discourse over the last few decades, but of course they were cheerleading for the Nazis. many decades ago. So I, and the reason is because I've done this job for 20 years. Before I came to here to do this job, I didn't really care one way or the other. In fact, I was writing for them. I was reviewing video games for the Daily Mail before they went completely crackers while I was in this job. But it's only having dealt with Brexit, having spoken to people who believe utter bilge, whose parents have ended up truly holding to be true things that are just hideously untrue, signing up for sort of low-level golf club-style racism and digging into where it comes from. And the answer is the Daily Mail and latterly the Daily Telegraph as well. And I'm fascinated by what is going to break that stranglehold on public discourse. And that's why Steve's comment is so interesting, because at the moment it could be the Greens. They are not going to do what Labour have felt they needed to do and try to keep these monsters sweet. They're clearly not going to be doing damage limitation or kowtowing or trying to ensure that they can keep access or anything like that. Ed Miliband should have done this when they maligned his dead father and then doubled down on it after he asked for an apology and expressed how unhappy he was that they had described his war hero father as the man who hated Britain. But Polanski doesn't seem to me to be someone who's going to be losing much sleep over keeping the print media suite. And he shouldn't either, because the print media is moribund and dying. But it still exercises that stranglehold. So now you've got the idea that there is a grassroots movement going on here, and that they're not going to fall into the historical jeopardy of feeling that they have to keep right-wing media suite. And all of that adds up to an awful lot of hope. Potentially. Sean's in Birmingham. Sean, what would you like to say?
Hello, James. I hope you're well. Yeah, I've got a lot to say. This is definitely existential. And what you were saying about earlier with hope, The big things that I think people don't recognise at the moment is there's a lot more beyond hope. The policy that has been developed has very much been, you know, as you said earlier, it's almost like a protest vote. It was a campaigning party almost. There was no chance of getting into government, but the policies are so detailed and so thought through, but they haven't been built in a way that they're easy to spin to the general public. So I think the next issue is making that front and centre of look at all our policies and, you know, reintroducing them almost like Reform do with these press conferences. But back to the actual question.
Well, hang on, what are your favourites? What are the policies that really tickle your fancy?
So, obviously, love a bit of wealth tax redistribution, but it's more the complete policy picture. So you've got the wealth tax, you've got bringing capital gains tax in line with, I can't remember which tax it is, but basically so that, you know, the rich people living off their stocks and shares are, that'll be it. and then there's, of course, the abolished landlords motion as well. I know that one hasn't been picked apart too much at the moment in the media. But at the same time, I know Reform are trying to say it's going to be legal to buy drugs, but illegal to rent your house. And again, if you look into the detail of what's been built around that, the amount of research, the people that are part of the movement have contributed to that policy. Because that's another thing in Reform. Farage decides the policy. In the Greens, I have as much say on it as a member as that Polanski does. If the vote is over, you know, the majority, he can't overrule that based on the current rules. So the policy then gets through and he has to speak on that policy. He can give his alternative opinion as long as he presents that policy. But this is the big thing. And what I'd also say is so existential is the what they were saying about it being the 127th seat. Well, the Conservatives became opposition with 121. I think this is the point where the Greens need to up the ante and start preparing for opposition for a Reform government. I know that's bold, but Reform have the audacity to say that they've basically won the next election already. That is the Brexit.
Yeah, but they're on a big panic at the moment, aren't they? That's two by-elections recently where they were preparing their laps of honour and they've ended up having their sandwiches handed to them in a roadmap. That Farage was halfway up the M6 before they'd even finished reading out the results in Caerphilly.
This is it. I've been thinking about who, it's dependent on who wins, where this goes. And if Labour had won, it's one more MP at the backbenches, nothing changes. Reform win, same situation, except obviously they're just shouting more and more about asylum. But if the Greens win, this is a voice that...
You've missed out the Tories.
Stands up. Oh, no, well, it wasn't on the table. What was their vote share, like 2%? I'm sorry.
How dare you? They got 1.9. I think you need 5 to keep your deposit, don't you? I actually meant to check that before I came on air this morning. Would you like to play a game, Sean?
Go ahead.
I'll read you something out, or I'll make something up, and you tell me whether it is the real response of the leader of the Conservative Party to what happened in Gorton and Denton, or whether it has been written this morning by one of the script writers from a Radio 4 topical comedy show.
Okay. Okay. Right, let's go ahead.
Are you ready? So is this from the script writer of a Radio 4 topical comedy show who also listens to this program and regularly sends me messages, or is it from Kemi Badenoch, the leader of the Conservative Party? Clearly, this election was not about who would be the best MP, but there was only one sensible candidate standing in Gorton and Denton, and it was Charlotte Cadden, a former deputy chief inspector, a mother, a woman who fought for single-sex spaces and dignity for women and girls. While the other parties race to the bottom, Charlotte embodies the new Conservative Party. The result shows Keir Starmer's premiership is finished. He lost authority a long time ago, a mere hostage at the mercy of a divided Labour Party that cannot decide who to replace him with. He has lost the support of his voters, his MPs, and the country. He is in office, but not in power. If he had any integrity, he would go. And is that written by the leader of the party that got 1.9% of the vote, about the leader of the party who got 25.4% of the vote, or is it written by the scriptwriter, obviously not on top form when it comes to gags today, but having a crack at a little bit of parody of a topical Radio 4 comedy show?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's too ridiculous. You couldn't write it. That's definitely Kemi Badenoch.
Yeah, you're right. Labour created the monster of harvesting Muslim community block votes, and yesterday that monster came back to bite them. Just extraordinary. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you could bottle whatever it is that gives her the confidence and the self-regard that she thrives upon, then you would be a billionaire by tea time. Sean, thank you. You've taken me all the way up to the 12 noon news. In the next hour, Simon Marks will be joining us, and a little teaser of a very special Full Disclosure. Talk about crossing the streams. It's only me and Gary Lineker on the same stage in a prestigious central London venue. But first...
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Sir Keir Starmer has admitted Labour's defeat in the Denton and Gorton by-election is disappointing, but he'll continue to fight for working people.
I do understand that voters are frustrated, they're impatient for change. And I came into politics to fight for change, and I will keep on fighting for those people for as long as I've got breath in my body.
The by-election was seen as a key test for the Prime Minister in one of his party's traditional strongholds. The Green Party won the contest, taking the seat held by Labour for almost a century. Hannah Spencer is the new Green MP for the constituency in Greater Manchester, winning with more than 40% of the vote. She's told a victory rally this morning that she was elected because people want change.
This was number 127 on the list of Green Party target seats. There are at least 126 where we can win with a smaller swing than we saw here. We are not here to be disappointed by Labour. We are here to replace them.
Concerns have been raised about so-called family voting during the by-election, where two voters either confer, collude or direct each other. The Electoral Commission has urged anyone who wants to report a potential offence to go to the police. The child killer, Ian Huntley, remains in hospital after an attack in prison left him with serious head injuries. Police say an inmate in his 40s has been identified as a suspect. Huntley is currently serving a 40-year jail term for the murders of 10-year-olds Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman in Cambridgeshire in 2002. A man's been charged over a security alert at Manchester Central Mosque on Tuesday night. Darren Connor, who's 55, is accused of possession of an offensive weapon. And a 38-year-old man's been arrested after the statue of Sir Winston Churchill in Westminster was defaced with graffiti. Anti-Zionist slogans were sprayed this morning. The man's being held on suspicion of racially aggravated criminal damage. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 35 at 10,883. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for many areas with rain, especially across central and southern parts. Some brighter spells for Scotland and Northern Ireland, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Get 3 months half price when you switch to an unlimited SIM with Three. That means quick streaming, faster downloads, and more money to spend on the things you love. Join the UK's fastest 5G network and get your unlimited SIM today. Buy now in store or see three.co.uk.
Unlimited 24-month light plan. Proof of switching required. Based on Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved. Subject to credit checks and terms.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
And it's 4 minutes after 12. I'm staying in Gorton and Denton, I think, or at least staying in the aftermath of this by-election result. But moving attention now, after 2 hours of focusing almost exclusively on the winners, as was right, and I may take a couple of the calls that are currently in the queue, answering the questions that I have already asked. But I do now think that we need to address the scale of the problem that Keir Starmer has. Because, I've got another long, long list of Labour achievements in front of me, and it's all true. I want to make that absolutely clear. In a different universe, possibly with better communications or in a less corrupt media ecosystem, they would be getting many more messages across that they are currently failing to get across. It's a point that Carl Turner made. I don't know if you heard Carl Turner's interview with Nick Ferrari on The Breakfast Show earlier this morning, but it was absolutely riveting. It was popcorn time. He's never been a man to pull punches, Carl Turner, but he is both a brilliant orator, a powerful communicator, and a man utterly uncowed by fears of party whips or frustrating future promotions. In fact, I should probably play you a bit of it, because it was that good. And he pointed out what I've just pointed out, that they do have quite a lot to boast about, but that's not the point of the problem that they currently have. The problem that they currently have in the context of Gorton and Denton is that they are not very good at the stuff that's quite easy. So motivating a population to vote to keep out fascists is something that used to be in the Labour Party's DNA. But because they have tried, for reasons I still don't fully understand, and a lot of people have blamed it on Morgan McSweeney, the former policy honcho at Downing Street, they tried to kind of siphon off votes that were leaning towards the far right, that were leaning towards Farage and his mates. And they did that by deploying language, if not necessarily policies, although some of the things Shabana Mahmood is minded to bring in probably fit into this category as well. They used language that appeared to be designed to try to keep the far-right vote sweet, or this notion, this fascinating notion of a quotes, decent, end quotes, person who could somehow be persuaded to join the ranks of Nigel Farage's ragtag racist army. And I don't know about that, those people. I really don't. I mean, you'd have thought, wouldn't you, that anybody really with a full ticket would take anybody who championed Brexit and lock them in a box for the foreseeable future. Anybody who described Liz Truss's economic catastrophe as the best thing since sliced bread, you'd think should be let absolutely nowhere near the Treasury or the coffers or the levers of government. You'd think that the man who greased Boris Johnson's passage into Downing Street by letting down his own party members and failing to fight against the Tories would be somebody you didn't want to let anywhere near power. You'd think that any great champion of austerity or somebody who would be make hideous anti-Semitic jokes to his former school contemporaries, according to tons of his former school contemporaries, all of these things you'd think would be enough to put somebody off a character, a man, a politician, if they were fundamentally decent people in danger of being seduced by the snake oil. But I don't know that I can buy that anymore. If you know all those things about Farage, you know the long history of, shall we say, alleged racism? I don't know, it's up to you. But anyway, the founder of UKIP said that he used the N-word all the time to describe the kind of voters he had no interest in appealing to. His former school friends have described him making jokes about gas chambers and hideous anti-Semitism and all forms of racism, telling British people with different coloured skin from him to go back where they came from, even though, like him, they came from South London. You know, the long and well-documented history of being wrong about everything from Liz Truss to Boris Johnson to Brexit, all of these things. If you're still thinking he's my guy, I don't know that you deserve to be described as somebody decent who's in danger of being seduced by snake oil, because you've been given the evidence. So I really like the messages I get. Was I can't wait till Nigel's prime minister. It's going to boil your brain. And I'm like, well, it's not going to boil my brain, but it's good that you're listening, because you won't be able to pretend you didn't know what you were voting for like you can with Brexit. You can pretend that Brexit could have gone better, but if the absolute anti-Semitic history, the race, according to his former school friends, the racism, according to his former party leader, and of course the Sun newspaper, the epic wrongness, the dishonesty, the lies, the man who boycotts stations and then turns up on them the next day, all of that evidence of what a ridiculous, disingenuous grifter he is, and you still want to vote for him, that's great. My job is done, because you can no longer pretend that you didn't know. And by all means, have another party. It'll be like the one you had after the Brexit referendum result came in. Except, of course, you don't like to talk about that anymore, because he made you look like a massive idiot. And now you're thinking, I might vote for him again. Well, you know, guess what will happen if you do? And that's why I don't know that it is actually contempt for the con men, compassion for the conned territory anymore. It'd be a bit like voting for Trump. And now the queue of people saying, well, I voted for him to round people up and deport them, but I didn't mean me. I didn't mean my dad. I didn't mean my husband. That queue is getting longer and longer. I voted for people. I wanted him just to, they've started killing Americans. That wasn't supposed to, you know what you're voting for. That's all. Listen, there would be no fascist regimes in the history of the world if people didn't like fascist regimes. It's just important that the rest of us who hate fascist regimes make it absolutely clear what you're getting when you vote for a fascist regime, America. And that's why when Labour decided, pretty much as soon as it got into power, to tack to the right, to tack towards both rhetorically and politically, tack towards the idea that the refugee situation was caused by anything other than the closure of safe and legal routes. When they tacked towards the idea that the reason why your life isn't going as well as you hoped it would was because there are too many people here. They brought down the numbers on migration. Two stories that you may be unaware of. One from yesterday. The Institute of Fiscal Studies estimated how much it would cost us if migration reaches zero. If migration gets down to net zero, if net migration reaches zero, it's going to cost us about £30 billion. Another story in the news today about what it is going to do, what it is already doing to our care homes and the NHS, but how a further drop in migrant workers will be an impending car crash. It's research showing that the number of nurses and care workers coming from overseas has collapsed. And this is a car crash for two of the most significant and crucial sectors that this country accommodates. It comes from the Work Rights Centre and it highlights the impact of Britain's lurch to the right on immigration, which many economists fear is going to compound skill shortages, cause inflation, see taxes go up, and, of course, create a myriad of problems in meeting the needs of an older generation. So it's all there. It's all there. The dangers of tacking to the right on immigration, following the lead of racist liars and grifters, which the Labour Party, in my opinion, has done, seem to be moving back in the right direction now, but it may well be too little too late. And then you've got the Green Party springing up in a place that was once occupied by Labour. It is, I think, profoundly significant that they're not talking about wind turbines and recycling. They're talking about the cost of living and the NHS and the importance of resisting fascists. And that means Keir Starmer's problems, after a good couple of weeks, when he saw off great unsatisfaction in the ranks, and he saw it off quite successfully, and he has, to me, been sounding much more persuasive and much more robust in both PMQs and beyond. He's still got a whole heap of problems. The Mandelson thing could have done for a weaker prime minister than Keir Starmer is currently. But this is huge, because he said for the second time that he led the only party that could stop the far right. And he didn't. And two parties have now proved that Labour is not the only party that can stop the far right. Plaid Cymru have proved it in Wales, and the Green Party have proved it in Manchester. And if they're not the only party that can stop the far right, even as they adopt increasingly right-wing and nation-damaging policies with regard to migration, even as they buy in to the media and Farage-led lie that immigration is bad for this country, then what do they represent? If he is not the leader of the only party that can stop the far right, then what is he the leader of? And then you come back to that list of things that they've achieved, which contains everything from free school dinners, breakfast clubs, right through to the fall in the energy cap and sundry other things. I'll run through more of them in the course of this hour. But this result, and the things that Hannah Spencer chose to focus on, first and foremost, seem to me to pose a really profound threat to Labour. And I'll tell you what those things are. The simple breakdown of the relationship between effort and reward. The fact that you can work hard and not move forward. That, to me, is a societal tragedy. And potentially a disaster in the making, because when societies find themselves in these moribund, stagnant states, you will always have racists in the background trying to blame it all on foreigners, trying to blame it all on Muslims, trying to blame it all on Jews, trying to blame it all on Irish people, trying to blame it all on black people. And you can hear it happening already. Oh, I hate seeing all those brown and black faces in adverts. Oh, I went to Birmingham and I couldn't believe I didn't see any white face. So you take a sense of unhappiness, you take a sense of dissatisfaction, and you try to blame it on your neighbour. That's what people like Jenrick and Farage and that poaching woman, that's what they do. Labour has to offer something else. It has to point out that the reason why your life isn't going as well as you might have hoped or as well as you think it should be, and you can find out how well it could be going, of course, by watching old episodes of The Bill. But if your life isn't going as well as you think it should be, you're going to blame it on the economic system, or you're going to blame it on the status quo. And Labour, I think, have missed that bus. I can't, look, correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't remember the last time I heard a Labour politician complaining about, well, the property tax maybe, but the property tax didn't feel like it was going after the plutocrats and the oligarchs. The property tax felt like it was going after people lucky enough to have bought a house 30 years ago for 150 grand that happens to be worth £2 million now because of what's happened to property prices. So it's a weird phrase to use, but through no fault of my own, I've ended up living in a £2 million house, somebody might say. And now Labour are going to rinse me for it. They're going to tax me for it. The Green Party, crucially, has parked its tanks on the lawns of billionaires. Now, it might not be? Because you will have now a huge amount of effort being put into claiming, oh, these taxes never work, wealth taxes never work, everyone will emigrate. I remember the late comedian Paul Daniels swearing blind he was going to leave the country if Labour got in 1997 or 2000 and whatever it was, and he didn't. They never do. That is going to be the next big battleground. It is actually, if this Green Party victory is anything like as significant as you've been telling me it is all morning, that's the big battleground. There are two elements to what she said. One is Gaza, which is so far removed. The relationship between the political and media establishment and the public on Gaza is possibly the biggest chasm I have ever seen. Whether you actually take the trouble to go out and talk to people or whether you simply look at polling, the idea that our media is still not really calling it a genocide and our political class is still not really calling it a genocide. The idea that because Nigel Farage is a supporter of Benjamin Netanyahu, he gets nothing like the scrutiny or the criticism that you would expect him to get for the things that he reportedly said to his Jewish school friends and school contemporaries when he was an 18-year-old. That thing there is massive. For me, I could be wrong. And Labour, I don't know that they could have done anything very, very differently, removing most arms licences from companies that were supplying the Israeli army, but still, of course, remaining an ally of Israel, which I don't see that a British government ever has any choice but to do that. I don't think I'd want them not to. But when you're an ally of a government that's undertaking a genocide, that's murdering journalists on an industrial scale, as we discovered yesterday, then an awful lot of people are not going to try even to understand why. And what Hannah Spencer made clear in that speech was that Gaza has become a massive rallying point. And I don't think it's a constituency-specific issue, that. I don't think it's got anything to do with how many people in Gorton and Denton come from Muslim households, because you go anywhere in this country and talk to people about the thing that has exercised and animated them the most in recent years, and Gaza will be very, very high up on the list. The carnage, the unutterable horrors visited upon completely innocent Palestinian people is a huge issue. And it's one that has been completely abandoned and missed by the Labour government. And I know there are Labour politicians who feel exactly about that as I'm articulating. So you've got this idea that foreigners or billionaires are to blame for the unfair economic system in which we find ourselves, and you've got the idea that I don't want to support a government that is supporting a state that has undertaken genocide. Those two things are massive game changers for British politics, and they are underpriced and underreported because, well, for the 7 millionth time this week, I would remind you that public discourse is dominated by people who have essentially cheered on the genocide and who are terrified by the idea of billionaires being put on the hook for the problems that our society has, as opposed to recently arrived foreigners or just Brits who've raised their families here but happen to be brown or black. That's it. That's the choice. Who are you going to blame? Who are you going to blame, your brown neighbours or the billionaires? And Greens point out it would be idiotic to blame your brown neighbours, so you've got to have to hold the billionaires responsible. And do you want to have a government that is complicit, as Hannah Spencer said, in genocide, or if you were to be a little bit more generous to Keir Starmer, just ineffective in opposing it? And if you take those two things and have a think, tell me how much trouble Labour is in today. Because the big question is, how big a deal is this result? But the other question is, not from the victor's point of view, but from the loser's. Labour came third. Labour swore they were the only party that could beat Reform, and they didn't beat Reform. But another party did. So in terms of how big a problem this is for the Labour Party, for Keir Starmer's leadership, for the government, let's do that next. Let's get right into the weeds of whether or not Keir Starmer, is now in mortal danger as leader of the Labour Party and as Prime Minister. 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need. Those two things she picked up on, cost of living and the fact that it's not the fault of your brown-skinned neighbour, or indeed your fault if you are brown-skinned, and Gaza, something that animates, whether you like it or not, the consciences of millions in this country who have been maligned at worst and ignored at best by almost everybody now for years. 22 minutes after 12, how much trouble does this by-election result with those two platforms of policy front and centre? How much of a problem does it pose for Keir Starmer? Hit the numbers now, you will get through.
This is LBC.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Music, news, celebrities, socials, entertainment, podcasts, video. The world of media and entertainment is a world we all turn to every second that we can. And university isn't for everyone. So if you're leaving school, take a look at joining Global Academy in year 14 to take a unique course in creative enterprise and kickstart your media career. Get industry experience, develop your entrepreneurial skills, and it's free. Apply now at globalacademy.com.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen, it's not working. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Bring your pensions together with PensionBee and take control of your retirement. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
24 minutes after 12, Ben writes, it's taken Labour losing a by-election for Starmer to sound like he has some passion in his voice. Scott in Kenilworth writes, the Gaza stuff will be massive. Who can vote for a party or parties who've used our taxes to supply intelligence to actual crimes against humanity and war crimes? I'm not sure the London set realise this. It seems to be hitting the cognitive dissonance hard down there for some reason. But we as a nation are complicit in the worst crime that humans can commit under international law. And Jamie expresses concern for my own well-being. He says, are you feeling okay, James? You've mentioned all the parties who talk about Britain being broken without saying a word about your last book. Honestly, have you been kicked in the head by a horse? He didn't add that last bit. I added that. But yeah, I mean, if you want to understand why the country has been brought to a place where both left-wing and right-wing politicians, who are not, of course, responsible for what's happened over the last 14 years, can claim that it is them that can fix things, then do indeed read How They Broke Britain by little old me. Although I'll tell you now, one of the politicians currently claiming that he can fix things gets an entire chapter of his own in that book, because, of course, he's done as much to break the country as anybody. But Labour, problems that they face, and those two key policy platforms of Gaza and billionaires or wealth. Kate's in Denton. Kate, what made you... Oh, how appropriate. What made you pick up the phone?
Oh, hi, James.
Hello, Kate.
Literally from, like, ground zero.
Yes.
It's been interesting. I'll just give you a little bit of my background. I've historically voted for Labour, and I went green this time.
Why?
So, the messaging was... It was bad. Locally, it was bad. And
you didn't like what the Labour Party were doing?
No, I actually didn't. And it was just all about... The focus was reform. So when they came to the door, and everyone's been to the door, let me tell you, I actually said to them, I really don't like messaging. I don't think you're running a good campaign. And they seemed really taken aback by that. when I actually said it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had no choice because Reform are leading the national opinion poll, so they have to come out and tackle that. But you're saying they didn't do anything else. They didn't really give you any reason to vote for them. They just gave you a reason to vote.
Not vote for Reform.
To keep the other lot out. Yeah,
the focus was on Reform, and, you know, they kept mentioning it. I mean, I've still got the leaflets here, and, you know, it's all about, you know, Reform. And can I just say as well, we ignore Reform at our peril. They seemed very organised up here, particularly in Denton, because we're, I don't know if you know the demographics, we are multicultural, but we're slightly less multicultural than Galton and Levenshulme. So they were entrenched here and very, very active. And that was the other thing that I said to the Labour campaigners when they came, that, you know, Reform has been here about three times this weekend. So, you know, I just felt, and I actually feel this generally, and it's kind of sad to say, the messaging ever since day one has been it's just been quite miserable. You know, we've inherited this terrible situation, things are bad, and they've pretty much stuck to that messaging, which
is true, though. What do you want them to do? I mean, all right, so what did you vote for? So I know why you didn't like Labour, so what did the Greens offer you that you voted for?
So, for this time round, I tend to vote on local issues with any sort of election.
Yeah.
And
so not Gaza, then. We can say that from the start.
So Gaza isn't as important an issue for me personally in the sense of when I'm thinking of voting. It is for my daughter and her generation, very much so.
Well, she's mid-20s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it is for her. And it is, you know, what's going on is utterly, it's horrible. But is that in, I'm just being candid, is that in my mind when I'm thinking about local issues? No.
No, fair enough.
It's not. Whereas what Hannah was trying to say and what resonated with me is that she was talking about cost of living, and cost of living is a massive issue to me and a lot of other people. And her focus was, you know, what are the things that we need to do? She's focusing on the billionaires, where Reform kind of had the same message, but they, okay, well, let's blame it on the dinghies and the boats. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does.
So,
I mean, that's it. That's the break, isn't it? I mean, it's literally, I'm really unhappy with the way things are going in this country. Are you going to blame it on the people who are getting richer every day, or are you going to blame it on the people who've not got a pot to pee in, but arrived here yesterday?
The only boats I'm bothered about are the, you know, the billionaire yachts, where they're, you know, they're not paying all the taxes. Those are the only boats that really...
Is it going to boil down to... I mean, is it going to be... Because Labour isn't in either of those camps, and it's tried to nibble at both of them. I mean, you can't, can you? You can't nibble at the racism in the hope of signing up a few mildly racist people who've believed the less toxic lies about immigration and migrants. And you can't really nibble at the dominance of the billionaire class or the oligarch class while the Green Party are there saying out loud and explicitly that this cannot go on in this way. And that's what got you, is it? That, because they don't need to tell you how they're going to fix it. They just need to say, we recognise the unfairness.
Yeah, I think somebody said it earlier, I think from Reddish down the road, that she's quite charismatic and she's a very clear speaker. And we like that up north.
Yeah.
No, but we do. And that's what actually changed my vote. I liked her, I liked what she had to say, I liked what her intent is to do around this area, because the messaging from Labour, it felt like more of the same. I'm sure she's a lovely lady, but it felt like more of the same. I didn't get a message from Labour
Yeah, well, I guess, again, if you're in power and you're going to say this is unfair, then it's a lot harder to avoid the question of how you're going to fix it than it is if you're in opposition. But there's two things there. This is really crystallising for me. Thank you, Kate. On the state of the nation issue, as opposed to on foreign relations, you have two parties now who are describing a state of decline, both of which are acknowledging that things aren't going very well for most people, or it feels that way. One of which is trying to blame it all on foreigners, and not just foreigners, of course, also on, you know, black people in adverts or brown people in Birmingham. And the other is trying to blame it upon the system that creates enormous inequality. And only one side is telling the truth, but as we have observed many, many times on this programme, it's a lot easier to sell tickets for the ghost train than it is for the Speak Your Weight machine. Amelia Cox has your headlines.
Sir Keir Starmer says he understands voters are impatient for change following his party's defeat at the Denton and Gorton by-election. The Green Party took the seat, which has traditionally been a Labour stronghold, winning more than 40% of the vote. A group of private schools, pupils and parents have lost a Court of Appeal challenge over the introduction of VAT onto school fees. They tried to claim the policy is incompatible with human rights law. And Ian Huntley is still in hospital after an attack in prison left him with serious head injuries. Police say an inmate in his 40s has been identified as a suspect. LBC weather, cloudy with showers for Wales, Northern Ireland and most of England. Sunny spells in southeast England and northern Scotland, a high of 15 degrees.
This is LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from real Octopus Energy calls.
The people are friendly on the telephone. You can always get a problem solved. You stepped it up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
The customer service is really good.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
Your customer service was tip-top. You know, I couldn't fault it.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which 9 years running.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Get 3 months half price when you switch to an unlimited SIM with Three. That means quick streaming, faster downloads, and more money to spend on the things you love. Join the UK's fastest 5G network and get your unlimited SIM today. Buy now in store or see 3.co.uk.
Unlimited 24-month light plan. Proof of switching required. Based on Ookla speed test intelligence data 2H2025. All rights reserved. Subject to credit checks and terms.
At Lidl, we value all the good that value brings. But what do you value? You value the quiet victory of a school run that glides without a hitch, the lunchbox negotiations. You value filling your boot, bringing everything and everyone to the table. You value your food, real food, fresh food, quality that speaks for itself. And so do we, giving you more to value at every step, every day. Lidl, more to value.
A Southern Train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? A record 9 years running.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
25 minutes to one is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Not for the first time, and I am willing to wager not for the last time. We are catching up with Simon Marks in Washington, D.C., without really knowing where to start. But we'll begin with a story that many people listening to this may not be aware of, Simon. And to be honest with you, were it not for your Blue Sky account, which I follow religiously, I may not be aware of it myself. I speak of Nurim Amin Shah Alam. Tell me more.
It's a staggering story, this, James. A 56-year-old, nearly blind refugee, a Rohingya who had managed to escape Myanmar, Burma, and made it to the United States with his family and secure refugee status, found himself dead on the streets of Buffalo, New York, after U.S. Border Patrol agents who had taken him in for questioning about whether he was a candidate for mass deportation, then realized that he had refugee status, so they couldn't pursue plans to try and send him off to a detention center and fly him out of the country, dropped him off not at his home, but at a donut shop in Buffalo in the middle of one of the harshest winters that we've seen here on the eastern seaboard in a very long time. So this man, who is nearly blind, walks with a cane, cannot easily make his way around, was still wearing apparently the orange booties that he had been given when he was taken in for questioning by the Border Patrol. So not wearing any footwear that was going to do him any good in the snow and the ice that was blanketing Buffalo, is dumped at a coffee shop in Buffalo rather than being driven to his home. Now, there is a huge complex backstory. He was facing prosecution after a fracas with police officers last winter, where they claimed that he had attacked them with metal poles when they tried to move him on from a house in which he appears to have been sheltering that particular winter. He agreed a plea deal that was going to spare him, given the relatively minor nature of the offence, from the prospect of being deported after the legal action wrapped up. And yet, the Border Patrol, catching wind of the fact that there was a Rohingya immigrant who was going through some sort of criminal prosecution, thought, right, we'll nab him now and we'll get him out of the country. And then came to realize that, in fact, his refugee status protected him, and that, indeed, the plea deal that he was agreeing protected him, even though it wasn't finalized, didn't even get the chance for all of that to be, you know, finalized in terms of process. Yeah. So they then realize they can't keep him.
So instead
of taking him to his house, this vulnerable man, nearly blind and unable to speak English, finds himself dumped in a coffee shop. Now, the mayor of Buffalo yesterday accused U.S. Customs and Border Patrol of unprofessional and inhumane conduct, to which the Border Patrol responds, Border Patrol agents offered him a courtesy ride, which he chose to accept, to a coffee shop, determined to be a warm, safe location near his last known address.
Good Lord.
He showed no signs of distress, mobility issues, or disabilities requiring special assistance.
Apart from being almost blind.
From which one can only conclude the bar for having a disability that requires special assistance in a snowstorm must be somewhat low. So this has been become a massive story, of course, in the Buffalo area, and now increasingly nationally. He was buried yesterday in a funeral service, and his family, of course, is demanding accountability from the Border Patrol agents who took that astonishing decision not to take him to the safety of his home, but to dump him in a coffee shop.
I mean, I urge people to read up even further on this story, because it is another one that you file under in the United States of America in 2026, with a heartbreaking sigh of exasperation and disbelief. And of course, we should talk also about the fact that these sorts of stories are already less likely to be properly reported in the United States than they were a couple of years ago, because of what has happened to organs like the Washington Post and broadcasters like CBS. And there is more bad news on, well, for people who care about the facts, there is more bad news on that front as well, Simon.
I think that's absolutely right. I think it's very important to underscore that many of the stories that have emerged this week that have shocked the conscience have come from investigative journalists working on Substack, in the case of this Buffalo case, from local news organizations that are still operational, including local TV in Buffalo, which has done a good job with this. But we are increasingly in a post-truth reality here. And with the news last night that Netflix is walking away from its efforts to acquire Warner Brothers Discovery, which means that Paramount, already the owners of CBS, already forcing CBS News to its knees before Donald Trump, is highly likely, 90% likely, to now take ownership of Warner Brothers Discovery, and the White House certainly is going to support that acquisition. Part of the bundle of things that Paramount will be acquiring is CNN. And this is the nightmare scenario for journalists at CNN who can see that, first of all, it's highly likely that, you know, some kind of a merger between CBS News and CNN will be on the cards. But more importantly than that, that the Ellisons, who run Paramount and who are supportive of and have pledged fealty to Donald Trump, first in order to secure government backing to take over CBS and now to secure government backing in order to take Warner Brothers Discovery, they will force CNN also to bend the knee before Donald Trump. I mean, that is the widely held expectation here. And if that happens before the midterm elections in November, and the pace of this, of course, is to be determined, we could well be in a situation that by the time we get to the autumn, and the midterm elections here are in their final weeks, two of America's three news channels, Fox and CNN, are bending the knee before Trump, or in the case of Fox, you know, fully on board
fully with
the Make America Great Again agenda. Yes. And that will leave only MS Now, also, by the way, like Fox, a propaganda channel, propagandizing from the left, with nowhere in terms of 24-hour news here, at least as far as the national cable channels are concerned, for people to get anything approximating traditional, objective, down-the-line reporting from an outlet that the White House dismisses as legacy media. And that's the path we're on here. I think it's unstoppable at this point.
No wonder your clips on YouTube appearing on this program are doing so well at the moment in the United States.
In the United States, I have to say, it's an extraordinary thing. I think people, you know, listening to LBC may not realize that we have an increasing number of listeners and followers here in the US, and indeed one of them, I'm not sure if I told you this, James, but one of them stopped me on the Washington Underground system, a local resident here. And I was very surprised. She asked if I was who I am. Yeah, are you Simon Marks? And I said, yes. Do I know you? And she said, no, you don't know me, but I know you.
Lovely.
And I said, well, how? And she said, I can't wait for the next episode of you and James to come out. And I said, well, how did you find us? And she said, when the election took place, I came to the conclusion that I was not going to be able to rely on American news media any longer to tell me what's going on in my own country. So I started looking elsewhere, and the first thing I came across was LBC, and I've stuck with it. I was just floored by it.
Yeah, floored, but also it makes some sense, doesn't it, given the story that you're telling us today and have been telling us since that election. And we should acknowledge that some journalists in America continue to fight the good fight. The New York Times this week, reporting on contents of the Epstein file, with the caveat, of course, that just because an accusation is contained within those files does not, by any stretch of the imagination, mean that it will be later substantiated or true. But Donald Trump's repeated claim that the contents of what has been released completely exonerate him looks rather shabby when viewed through the lens of what the New York Times and others have reported this week.
Yes, and just worth underscoring, the New York Times was led to this story by the work of an independent political investigative journalist on Substack, and both the New York Times and National Public Radio then picked that up and amplified it. This relates to the fact that we know from the 3 million pages of documents that were released by the Department of Justice at the end of January that there was this summary written up of allegations that had been brought to the attention of investigators by members of the public against Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. And we also know that one accuser was interviewed in 2019 by investigators. She claimed that she had been assaulted and abused by Trump and Epstein together in the 1980s, when she would have been around 13 years old. Now, there is no evidence contained in any of the allegations and the files relating to them that investigators found any of these allegations to be credible. However, thanks to the campaigning work of that independent political investigative journalist, we now know that, in fact, this woman was interviewed not once, but four times by investigators, and that evidence of that was included in documents that were immediately released by the Department of Justice on January the 30th. But then, in the scramble that they engaged in to pull some of these documents back that they realized they, for various reasons, should not have put into the public domain, evidence relating to the other three interviews with the FBI disappeared. And the way this was uncovered was by the initial journalist using the Wayback Machine, which allows you online to go and look at archived pages of the internet that no longer exist in real time. And so he discovered that not only do we already know the Department of Justice had withheld 3 million pages of other documents, but they'd actually pulled some documents back from the public database where allegations against Jeffrey Epstein and Trump were listed and some detail provided about them. So the huge question now being raised, of course, by Democrats and some dissident Republicans is, where are those documents? What do they say at a time when President Trump is claiming to be absolved entirely by the Epstein inquiry? And how are those documents going to see the light of day? This is so serious that the Department of Justice, no longer, of course, an independent institution here, we're seeing across the board systemic failure in terms of investigations relating to Epstein's affairs. The Department of Justice says that it is reviewing all of those documents to see whether any of them should, in fact, have been left in the public domain. So suddenly, as the Clintons are being questioned up in Chappaqua, Hillary yesterday, Bill today, suddenly the Klieg lights of attention are back on the White House, back on Attorney General Pam Bondi, as we all wonder what exactly it was in that woman's account that led the FBI to decide that they couldn't just interview her once. Wow. They needed to go and interview her four times, which, of course, raises the possibility that they thought that her and it's only a possibility that they thought her allegations were more credible than perhaps a single interview might have indicated.
Yeah, quite the week, really, for that doughty defender of women and girls, and of course, victims of actual abuse, to accept an invitation from Donald Trump's administration, Tommy Tenames or Stephen Yaxley Lennon, going to the United States of America this week and boasting all over social media about his connections with members of Donald Trump's regime, even as the contents of the Epstein file continue to be, less than fully released. But while I have you, not on that, on the Hillary Clinton thing that you just mentioned, she used her opportunity in front of this investigation to call for Donald Trump to give evidence, which was quite a move.
It was a big move. I mean, basically her message to the committee was, I never met Epstein. I know absolutely nothing about him. I condemn all of his crimes and everything that I now know that he did, but I never met him. But I know a bloke who did. And you should really be talking to him. His name is President Donald Trump. He's mentioned thousands of times in the Epstein files. And if I were you, if this committee was serious about getting to the bottom of all of this, you would have issued an invitation to him to come and be deposed and provide evidence under oath about the nature of his friendship and relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Bill Clinton, appearing before the House Oversight Committee today, is going to have less latitude to do that, because we know that, yes, Bill Clinton had a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. He simply denies any nefarious or criminal aspects to it. So he's going to have a much rougher ride. But Hillary Clinton's ability yesterday to kind of, again, turn the spotlight on the White House was substantial. And the other point that she made, James, which further reveals the systemic collapse that is taking place here, is that this House Oversight Committee is so blatantly politicized that at one point yesterday, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, a Trump supporter from Colorado, completely against the rules, the agreed rules of the deposition, snapped a cell phone picture of Hillary Clinton,
right,
sent it to her mate, a propaganda podcaster called Benny Johnson, who then puts it out on social media, bringing the hearing to a collapse for 30 minutes while the Clinton lawyers said, well, the rules aren't being observed here. The previous week, when Les Wexner, this billionaire businessman, very supportive of Republican causes, who had a complicated business and personal relationship with Epstein, was being deposed by the committee, only the Democrats showed up for that deposition. The Republicans wouldn't even participate in it because he was a Republican supporter. So the system here is not capable of getting to the truth about Jeffrey Epstein. That's the reality. The Department of Justice can release everything they've got, And we still won't get to the bottom of it because the independence of the Department of Justice and the institutions of law enforcement have been incinerated. And because one side or the other on Capitol Hill never has any real interest in investigating people from their own side about their relationships with the financier.
Wow. I just to put the cherry on the icing on the cake with regards to that Paramount story and CNN, the richest man in the world owns X, the second and third richest men in the world control Google, the fourth richest man owns Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp, the fifth richest man owns the Washington Post, and now the sixth richest could soon be taking over Paramount, Warner Brothers and therefore CNN. Simon, thank you. Have a lovely weekend. No wonder people are tuning in to you on this radio station to find out what's going on in their own countries. That's a terrifying thought, even as Simon and I quietly preen ourselves about it. It is a terrifying thought, and it's happening. It's real. It's 12:52.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
A plumber, a plasterer, an MP. Sounds like the start of a joke, but it's no joke for Keir Starmer as the Greens' Hannah Spencer shatters Labour's majority in Gorton and Denton. So what now for the Prime Minister?
Sheila Fogarty at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Get 3 months half price when you switch to an unlimited SIM with Three. That means quick streaming, faster downloads, and more money to spend on the things you love. Join the UK's fastest 5G network and get your unlimited SIM today. Buy now in-store or see 3.co.uk.
Unlimited 24-month light plan. Proof of switching required. Based on Ookla speed test intelligence data 2H2025. All rights reserved. Subject to credit checks and terms.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd pay off my mortgage and my mum's mortgage.
It's your lucky day and you win the birthday draw. But you forget to pay off those mortgages.
Whoops.
Because you're on a cruise with lots of money.
Money cruise, baby!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search The Birthday Draw and enter now from Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with James O'Brien.
It's 12:55. I know I say this every week, and I do because it's true, but it's really, really, really true this week. A very, very special full disclosure for you. With Gary Lineker, and we did it on stage in London at the Royal Geographic Society, raising, I think, about £40,000 for Global's Make Some Noise. Covered an awful lot of ground. There's plenty there for the football fans and plenty there for the fans of Gary's sort of latter day crusading. And it was on that second point that I asked him why, when he had so much already, did he feel the need to raise his head above the parapet and speak out on controversial issues with all of the abuse and attention, of course, that that can attract.
I have that thing that I care, and that's when it's hard to not get involved. If you see something that's desperately wrong, it's hard not to get involved a little bit. So, you know, I would do that sometimes. I'd get the odd little message or phone call. Mm. We're not particularly happy with this.
Begins like this, doesn't it? They would...
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And I was going, well, you know, you move the goalposts, not me.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing in my contract, nothing that stated that you can't use social media to, you know. And I was always, I was trying to be careful. And then obviously I replied to a pretty venomous kind of Tsipras message with the thing about, you know, comparisons with early 30s Germany.
It was pretty mild, and not dissimilar to that used by Germany in the 30s.
Yeah, not dissimilar, which, yeah.
And then you had this extraordinary silver lining, didn't you? Because I think uniquely, they suspended you and everybody else down tools as well. That must have been... I mean, genuinely, messing around. That must have been an incredible moment for you.
That was one of the most emotional things I've ever had. Sure. I mean, I had a group chat with Alan Shearer and Ian Wright, and we were obviously chatting during that. I said, I've got a feeling they're going to stand me down on Saturday night. And Wright, he said, if they do that, I'm not doing the show. And it happened to be that Wright and Alan were going to do the show on Saturday night. And it's one thing saying that, but to down tools for someone else's cause, that doesn't happen.
No.
And it was Friday afternoon, and, well, it's I had a lunch with a couple of friends of mine. I got the message that they were going to drop me. They'd made it publicly before they told me, right? Nice touch.
Yeah,
So... we're sitting in the restaurant, and went, look, this is going to happen. Within half an hour, Ian Wright tweeted that he wouldn't be doing the show. And I went, oh, my God. Wow. I went a bit. As I am now, whenever I think about it. And then 20 minutes later, Shearer did the same. And I was in the back of a cab by this stage with my mate. I was sobbing. Absolutely sobbing. That support.
Because... if they hadn't done that, you'd have still been best mates. It was not something
I never expected them to do that. And then, obviously, everyone else followed, and then the commentators down tools, and then it was like, wow. And then from going, you know, desperately asking me to apologise, and I kept saying, I don't think I've got anything to apologise for. Mm. I genuinely don't, so no. And then skip forward 36 hours, and they're apologising to me.
And you can hear that full interview on the Global Player or the LBC app or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget James O'Brien Daily, the best bits from my LBC show every day. So I think it's one of the best interviews I've done there, and I've done a lot. I kind of went to places. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick. It's called Full Disclosure, by the way, that series of long-form interviews. If you haven't discovered it yet, that would be a wonderful entry point for you. But now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Thanks very much, James. Kemi Badenoch says a sectarian campaign was run by both Green and Labour parties in Gorton and Denton, dividing neighbours on race and religious grounds. Is she right? We'll talk about that at 3. At 2, we knew already from the polls, now we know from the ballot box, that Labour faces a big threat from both Green on the left and Reform on the right, the Conservative Party battling Reform in the main. Is today's win for the Greens a moment, merely a moment, or a definitive shift in our politics? But first up after the news, what it means for Keir Starmer. Should have run Burnham, could have run Burnham, would have run Burnham, but didn't. Where does the trouncing of Labour in Gorton and Denton leave the Prime Minister and his party?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, Sir Keir Starmer has vowed to fight on following his party's defeat in the Denton and Gorton by-election. The Green Party took the seat, which Labour have held for almost a century. The Prime Minister said he would also fight against the extremes of politics after coming third behind Reform.
Parties who want to tear our country apart. The Labour Party is the only party that can unite our country and our communities, and we will line up together in that fight against the extremes of the left and the right for the values that we believe in.
Hannah Spencer becomes the fifth Green MP after winning more than 40% of the vote. The party's leader, Zach Polansky, rejected Sir Keir's suggestion he's the person to take on reform.
Right now, Nigel Farage says jump and Keir Starmer says how high. There's so many issues where we've seen Keir Starmer not actually present an alternative to Nigel Farage. He's just presented Diet Coke Light. And, you know, if people wanted the full fat version, then they would vote for Nigel Farage and for reform.
He's backed an investigation into so-called family voting during the polls yesterday, where two people confer, collude or direct each other. The Electoral Commission is urging people to report possible offences to police. Also this afternoon, a group of private schools, pupils and parents have lost an appeal over the introduction of VAT onto school fees. Three High Court judges dismissed claims the policy is incompatible with human rights law in June last year. Ian Huntley remains seriously injured in hospital after he was attacked in the workshop of a maximum security jail. Reports suggest the man behind the murders of Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman was hit with a metal bar in County Durham yesterday morning. A fellow inmate at HMP Frankland has been identified as a suspect. A man has been charged following a security alert at Manchester Central Mosque on Tuesday night. Officers were called to reports of an armed man arriving during Ramadan prayers. Darren Connor, who's 55, is due to appear in front of magistrates charged with possession of an offensive weapon. And Netflix have pulled out a bidding for Warner Brothers. The streaming giant says the price required to top a £82 billion bid for Paramount Skydance wouldn't make financial sense. Warner Brothers board had previously been recommending the offer by Netflix. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 49 points at 10,896. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy with showers for Wales, Northern Ireland and most of England. Sunny spells in southeast England and northern Scotland, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
Everyone seems to be in a spin about energy prices. But Mrs. Thing isn't. Because last year she was one of 953,214 British Gas customers who saved money by switching to a fixed tariff. Well, that puts a positive spin on things, Mrs. Thing. See what you could save. Search British Gas Fixed Tariffs. Eligibility and T's and C's apply. Savings based on customers who switched to a lower fixed tariff versus standard variable rate available at point of sale last year.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello, good afternoon to you. Probably won't surprise you to know that I'm going to talk about politics, particularly what happened overnight in Gorton and Denton in Greater Manchester. What does it mean for Labour? Here is a section of Hannah Spencer's speech following her victory in Gorton and Denton. This is her speaking early this morning.
I didn't grow up wanting to be a politician. I'm a plumber. And 2 weeks ago, during all this, I also qualified as a plasterer. Because even in chaos, even under pressure, I get things done. I am no different to every single person here in this constituency. I work hard. That is what we do. Except things have changed a lot over the last few decades, because working hard used to get you something. It got you a house, a nice life, holidays. It got you somewhere. But now, working hard, what does that get you? Because talk to anyone here and they will tell you. The people who work hard but can't put food on the table, can't get their kids' school uniforms, can't put their heating on, can't live off the pension they worked hard to save for, can't even begin to dream about ever having a holiday, ever. Because life has changed. Instead of working for a nice life, we're working to line the pockets of billionaires. We are being bled dry. And I don't think it's extreme or radical to think working hard should get you a nice life. And I don't think that if you're not able to work, that you should still have a nice life. I think that absolutely everybody should get a nice life. And clearly, I'm not the only person who thinks that. Because I've made clear my position and my commitment to working class communities, the community that I am from.
I mean, barring, you know, the reality of her being in the Green Party, and we can talk in more detail about some of the policies, that was a speech that a Labour MP could have made. But she ain't no Labour MP. She says, we're coming after you and our intention is to replace you. After Labour came in third Sir Keir Starmer said he would keep on fighting for the people who need a Labour government.
Incumbent governments quite often get results like that midterm, but I do understand that voters are frustrated, they're impatient for change. And I came into politics, late in life as it happens, to fight for change for those people who need it, the people who need an NHS that works for them, to be able to get a doctor's appointment when they need it, to get the money they need in their pockets to pay their bills, and to have a decent and better life. And I will keep on fighting for those people for as long as I've got breath in my body. I will also fight against the extremes in politics, on the right and the left. Parties who want to tear our country apart. The Labour Party is the only party that can unite our country and our communities, and we will line up together in that fight against the extremes of the left and the right for the values that we believe in. We were elected into government to change millions of lives for the better. That's why we've already passed the Renters' Rights Act. Better rights for renters that haven't been there for a generation. That's why we've passed the Employment Rights Act to give working people better rights at work. That's why we've invested in the NHS to bring our waiting list down. That's why we're giving a pay rise to the lowest paid in our society and making sure that people have the opportunities for them and their families. It is very easy for other parties to identify the grievance. That's the easy bit. The hard yards is providing the solution and turning the country around to improve the lives of millions of people. That is the mission. That is what we had a mandate to do. And that's what I'm laser focused on.
Well, Lewis Goodall is here with me, presenter of Sundays with Lewis Goodall on LBC. Unmissable programme this weekend, if I may say so. And co-host of Global's podcast.
Like it's happened already.
Well, I was going to say, I'd like to think it's, yeah, so this is too.
Set the bar high, but it is, set the bar
no,
high.
No, but it is a great weekend, listen, I must say. Tell me this, Lewis. Is Keir Starmer, as one of his own MPs texted to a political colleague of ours, as in a journalistic colleague of ours, burying the Labour Party?
Well, that is certainly what Labour MPs are worried about, Sheila. Look, I think if you talk to Labour MPs, there aren't many of them who believe that Keir Starmer will take them into the next general election. The concern that there is that the contamination, the toxin, might be so severe that the brand of the Labour Party becomes irrecoverable, even if they already believe that Keir Starmer's personal brand, fairly or unfairly, certainly is. Look, I think that the importance of what we've seen overnight is this, and we should, you know, obviously preface this by saying, and there will be people who, you know, listen to us and we get very excited about these things. By-elections come, by-elections go. They are interesting. They can be an interesting both signal and measure to and of public opinion. But of course, they're just by-elections. General elections have very different dynamics. Mm. But I think what we can say is what's different about this by-election is I remember about a year or so ago, there was a briefing from an unnamed